Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the June 17th board meeting. We'd all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just wanted to note that the chairman is on a conference call with the California Association of Counties discussing some of the budgetary issues with the state regarding our roads and roads funding. Is my microphone on? Good. And so, excuse me, I get to run the meeting today, so we're going to change the entire budget. This is the third day of our budget hearings, and Madam Clerk.
Is contributions to outside agencies.
Thank you. Mr. Buckshy?
Yeah, I'll just briefly introduce Nikki Schmidt from the Administrative Office. Nikki leads the contributions to outside agencies, and before we do that, we'll have Ms. McGarvey give a recap from yesterday.
You failed, Frank.
Thank you.
Yesterday during budget hearings, your board did make some changes. You decreased the Board of Supervisors' salaries and benefits by $5,000, increasing general fund contingencies by a like amount. You canceled membership in the National Association of Counties for a savings of $4,902 from the administrative office. And you found salary savings in the health agency of $700,000, of which you used $255,602 to restore funding for the planning department and the balance of $444,794 was added to general fund contingencies. And
that... Just one second. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. The planning department was restoring funding that had been cut in the proposed budget. In total, we now have in the general fund $15,203,988 in general fund contingencies, or 4.15% of general fund appropriations.
15,000 or?
15 million.
Thank you.
I dropped zeros a lot.
I knew we were going to be a little short. Mr. Sajjan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Did I hear you correctly? You said we dropped the supervisor salaries by $5,000?
$5,000.
I thought it was $10,000.
It was $5,000 in the proposed budget had already been dropped,
okay,
so this was
sure.
In addition to the $5,000.
A total of $10,000.
A total of $10,000.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions of staff this time? We have a significant number of folks who would like to speak today, so if anyone else needs to get your slips in, please do at this point in time. And we will, any questions from the board at this point?
Nikki,
I'm sorry, if you'd go ahead and introduce our, well, I'm still collecting slips. It is, we've got quite the yellow day.
Good morning, I am Nikki Schmidt, the County Administrative Office, and I am here to present the
approximately
$2 million
to be used
at the base of the mic.
There you go.
Oh, sorry. Whew. Oh, good. I get to start all over again. Approximately $2 million is recommended to be used to fund district community project funds and a total of 63 community-based preventive health grants and other miscellaneous type grants for fiscal year 09-10. 38% of the recommended grants are funded by tobacco settlement money. The remaining 62 is funded through the general fund. In 09-10, general fund support for this fund center is decreasing by approximately $141,000. The CBO Preventive Health Grant request for proposal was distributed in December 2008. Let me go back a minute to talk a little bit about the process. The CBO and Preventive Health Grants request for proposal is distributed in December of 2008. The organizations are given 6 weeks to submit their applications. They are due normally on the last day of January. Other agency request applications go out in January, and this year they were due in March 13th of 2009. We do a press release. We mail them out to the applicants that received funding the previous year. Anyone who calls during the year gets put on the mailing list. And so we spread the news throughout the whole county. Each category is given about 6 weeks to submit their applications. We received 60 proposals for community-based organizations and preventive health grants, totaling $1.9 million in funding requests from 50 local nonprofit organizations. Representatives from the Mental Health Advisory Board, Drug and Alcohol Board, Adult Policy Council, Children's Services Network, and Health Commission formulated the recommendations before your board today. And at this point, I normally ask them to stand if they're here. I don't know how many are here. The committee. There are five regular members and five alternate members. As you can see, the proposals are reviewed and prioritized based on a variety of criteria. A total of 55 projects are being recommended for grant funding, an amount totaling approximately $1.34 million. This does equate to a total decrease of 5% for CBOs, and preventive health grant for 09-10. Specifically, there are 31 projects totaling approximately $928,000 being recommended for grant funding in the community-based organizations section of Fund Center 106. Projects include programs for feeding the hungry, assisting frail senior citizens, and a variety of health and human services programs for women and children. Adjusting for one-time funding granted in 08-09, the recommendations represent a 5% decrease from 08-09. It should be noted that there were five organizations that were late. The committee spent an enormous amount of time discussing how they were going to proceed with dealing with the late applications. At the end of the day, they decided to review them and fund them with a 20% penalty for being late. So out of the five, four were funded, one was not funded. I should say not recommended for funding. 24 projects totaling $420,000 are recommended for funding with preventative health grant funds. Programs include alcohol or drug recovery projects, domestic violence or counseling prevention, mental health crisis counseling, and a variety of prevention programs for children and teens. Funding for preventive health grant is determined by Measure A. Measure A was passed by the voters several years ago, and it sets out how tobacco settlement money is to be distributed. Preventive health grants are allocated 15% of these funds. Subsequent to the printing of the proposed budget, we received notification of unanticipated 0506 tobacco settlement monies. Applying the distribution formula, preventive health grants is going to see $27,814 in unanticipated funds. The review committee recommends that either these funds are carried forward into the fiscal year 10-11 process, or you can take a CBO-funded project, move that into the preventive health grant category, and that would free up about $27,800 in general fund money. The programs funded in other agency request section cover a wide range of services. The recommended funding of approximately $55,000 represents a 7% decrease from 08-09 grant amounts. This decrease includes the adjustment of one-time funding that was adopted in 08-09. Included in this category are programs that require a public match, such as the Central Coast Commission for Senior Citizens, the AAA, or the Slo Arts Council. Also included is the county share funding for the Local Agency Formation Commission, known as LAFCO, which is required by the Cortese-Knox-Hertzberg Act of 2000. The county's required share is approximately $176,000, and this represents a 4% increase over last year's level. Additionally, in other agency requests, funding is included for discretionary programs for organizations such as the SLO Visitors and Conference Bureau and the Upper Salinas, Los Tablas, and Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation Districts. And certainly, last but not least, the District Community Project Grant Program is recommended to decrease by 10%, or $13,000 from 08-09 amounts. This recommended funding of approximately $117,000 equates to about $23,438 per district. And as in previous fiscal years, any district funds remaining are recommended to be carried forward to 09-10. 87 projects totaling approximately $130,000 were funded in 08-09. Projects included contributions to children's programs, safe and sober graduation celebration, fundraiser for various nonprofit organizations, creek or beach cleanups, tourist generating events, and community advisory groups. There is approximately $35,000 available for carryover. And this is all I have to say, and I am available to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Schmidt. So if I understand this correctly, everything else is taking a decline except for LAFCO.
Yes, sir.
Do I have any of my colleagues have any questions at this time?
I do, Mr. Chair, but probably wait till we hear from the public so okay. we have a better understanding of what their needs are and maybe bring it back for discussion. And.
But my understanding, Ms. Schmidt, that by being able to move monies around at the most, you have $27,000 that we can work with.
$27,000 and $814.
Thank you. Well, without question, this is usually difficult at best because every organization that makes an application is worthwhile and all do good work. So this is, it's always difficult to try to slice the pie when the pie becomes a little smaller. So what we're going to do, we'll get started with, I'm going to call out your name and then the speaker to follow, and if you'd please gather at the podium there and be ready to go when your name's called. I'd appreciate that. First we'll speak is Ms. Deborah Spatafor, please, followed by Eddie Kahn.
First speaker gets to donate money.
May I just begin?
Sure, please.
My name is Deborah Spatafor. I didn't realize I was going to come first. I have several of my colleagues who are here who are going to speak to you about other aspects of the organization. But I'm a member of Arts Obispo, and I'm very active in the Arts Education Program, which is only one of several focus areas within the organization. And I wanted to give you a little perspective of some of the things that just that one focus area accomplishes with your support. A speaker following me will talk about Poetry Out Loud, which is one of our most popular education programs. But we also facilitate InterSpark applications, which is a competitive summer school for the arts for county teens who will have the experience of living in a university setting and being taught by some of the most highly qualified arts teachers in the state in intensive and highly creative courses. We also have the Arts Curriculum Assistance Program. Last year, we placed artists in 22 classrooms in Oceano Elementary School and two dance teachers in Slo High special education classes. In the coming year, we will work with teachers of Oceano Elementary, showing them how to translate tried-and-true classroom art projects into meaningful art education lessons that meet standards for visual art education established by the state of California in 2001. Finally, the arts education program that is nearest and dearest to my heart is the Arts Consortium for Education, known as ACE. Arts Obispo is the coordinating body behind ACE, which brings together representatives of all county arts organizations that have arts programs for children. ACE is in the process of collecting data about art resources available to teachers, parents, and children throughout the county. Data from each and every arts organization in the county, galleries, theater groups, orchestras, choral groups, poetry groups, historical society, dance troupes, art centers, film and music centers, from Cal Poly to Cuesta to Hearst Castle will be collected. Specifically, the data will be about arts workshops, camps, before school, after school, and academic holiday programs, lesson plans, performances, demonstrations, and other art resources that would be available to parents, children, and teachers. The data will be organized on our website with links to participating organizations. Recently, when this project was explained to the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Visual and Performing Arts Committee, their response was, "When can we access it?" It's a good question. And while I understand that financial pressures require budget cuts, it seems unfair to cut our funding by 40% when all other agencies in our budget category will be cut minimally or not at all. Other people are going to talk to you more about those figures. I know that each and every one of you thinks about the families in your districts, and today I want you to think about what the arts bring to parents and children in your communities. Arts Obispo is here to create, support, and encourage those opportunities for creative endeavors by providing time, personnel, energy, by disseminating information, by coordinating resources and filling the gaps, and by making links and connections through and between the arts in our county.
Thank you, Ms. Spadafore.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Ms. Kahn, and then followed by David Kilburn.
Hi, my name is Edie Kahn, and I'm the Executive Director of the AIDS Support Network and Slow Hep C Project here in San Luis Obispo County. And I'm going to address the CBO funds today. David will talk a bit later about the preventive health grants. And it has been proposed that the CBO funding will be coming to the AIDS Support Network for housing services. And in a climate of growing instability, the AIDS Support Network would like to applaud the board's efforts in trying to support our community-based organizations on the whole. ASN, like so many agencies, is looking at trying to preserve our most essential programs in this time of instability. And we're looking at trying to support our clients' basic needs. And basic needs are food and housing, and with the CBO grant, that housing would be addressed. The proposed CBO grant funds would help us pay some of our clients' rents, and they also go to support some of our agency-owned housing units that we have here locally in San Luis Obispo. And by helping a client remain in their home with rental assistance that we can provide through these grant funds, we're improving their health outcomes. We're allowing them a safe place to reside. We're allowing them to more easily access all of the medical assistance that they so desperately need and focus on medication adherence. They're at home. They have all the needs that needs met then to have things like refrigeration for medications. We're also looking at them being able to focus on healthy nutrition and on social connections so that they're not as isolated as they might be if they're falling out of their living situations. So all of these things are very vital for our clients and for their health. So I would just like to say thank you for entertaining our grant once again this year and for your ongoing support of our programs. And once again, these are vital needs for our clients, and we appreciate and applaud your looking at addressing the vital needs of a lot of the community. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Kilburn, followed by, and I have, it says Ken Brokamp and Loretta Hudson. I don't know if you're going to share your time up here. So.
Yeah, good morning. My name is David Kilburn. I am the coordinator of finance for the AIDS Support Network and Slow Hep C Project. The AIDS Support Network is entering our 25th year of providing services in our community. 10 years ago, we saw the need for addressing the needs of people living with hepatitis C, and we established the Hepatitis C Project. And we were funded from a grant from the California Endowment to do a comprehensive program, sort of modeling services after our HIV model. That was funded for a three-year grant cycle, and after that, I'm very pleased to say that the preventive health grants through the county came through to support our program on a more limited basis, but to continue the program. The Slow Hep C project is really just one of a kind in our county, and one of very few in the state. So we're really being looked at as a model of providing services to people living with hepatitis C. Our clients are perhaps some of the most on the edge in our community. Many present themselves with no sources of income whatsoever and homeless. Through our program, we have limited health counseling and benefits counseling and access to our food pantry, but we're able to bring people into the service and actually get people access to medical care for sometimes the first time in their lives. So through this program, we're actually able to provide harm reduction and risk reduction for our clients to help them realize transmission risks so they don't pass their virus on to others, and actually get some people into treatment and eliminate the virus. So we are continually seeking other sources of funding for this particular program, but hepatitis C is really not on the radar screen yet in our world. So we're doing everything we can on state and national level to help raise that awareness, but what's very incredible about San Luis Obispo is that we're actually directly addressing the needs of our community in regards to Hep C. So I think our county can absolutely applaud ourselves for actually being very proactive and serving as a model for other communities. So I know that in light of the economic times, we're under huge pressure everywhere, but I would just like to thank you for the recommendation for preserving our program here locally. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kilburn. Mr. Brokamp and Ms. Hudson, followed by Carl Hansen.
Good morning. I'm Ken Brokamp. I'm the CEO for the Central Coast Zoo Society. And I, first of all, apologize for not responding to your application for funding. We really have no excuses. Somehow it got lost in the mail. And until it came to our attention, we had really let it slip through the cracks. We've been very focused on our AZA accreditation at the Charles Paddock Zoo, which is essential for the survival of the zoo. That's the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. In front of you, you should have the application, and you can see that we've been very consistent in the past 5 years for applying for this funding, and this is a glitch year for us, and again, we apologize for that. The program, as you can see, has been supported for the past 5 years. We focus our effort on the school services and also public programs in the conservation and education of wildlife and the education of children involved in that. Along with that, we have quite a few programs in detail. Our application varies only about 5% from what we had the previous year, just due to just regular changes in staff, and certain programs that we inserted within there. Funding is requested for the education programs, which are offered to the community, area schools, and zoo visitors. These programs provide off-site and on-site interactive educational presentations, as well as advance the zoo goals of conservation, education, and recreation, which are the three pillars of any zoo, but especially the Charles Paddock Zoo, which is what we like to say the best little zoo in the West. And if you have been there, you can understand that it's been well-worn, well-used, and we are gearing up to make some major changes there in the next few years. So with that, I ask that you please consider our application, and if you have any questions, you can please contact me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. I've heard of people having their dogs eat their homework, but I didn't know whether one of the animals ate your application. Mr. Hansen, followed by Janice Wolf, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the board and staff, my name is Carl Hansen. I'm the executive director of the Food Bank Coalition of San Luis Obispo County. First, I want to thank Nikki Schmidt and her committee for that very difficult task of putting these recommendations together. And we all appreciate, all the agencies appreciate your hard work. Of course, we at the food bank think that the food bank is a good investment for the county, and that's for several reasons. One of them is that we are able to acquire either free or low-cost food, either within the county or to bring into the county from around the state, that serves the low-income and financially struggling families, the residents of San Luis Obispo County. We're also able to partner with other government agencies in acquiring food through various programs that are administered countywide through the food bank. Our Senior Brown Bag program, our USDA program, are examples of being able to access funds from outside the county to help our county. One of our major programs is to partner with other nonprofits around the county, and this year we will exceed 200 collaborative partners who provide in their individual programs in a great variety of ways free emergency food to constituents that they serve or the general public that they serve who comes to their doors in order to receive help. We also partner with them in ever-increasing ways to raise funds to match what the county gives us and go beyond that from within the county and outside the county as well in order to provide even more food for those who are in need. This past year, our need has gone up about 25%. We require our agencies to report to us quarterly who they're serving, and not by names, of course, but in terms of demographics and numbers. And we're seeing this pretty much across the board as an average. Some agencies are serving half again as many people as they did last year. So we're all aware that the need is rising, and I'm happy to say that we are meeting that need through our countywide network of agencies that provide emergency food. One last comment. Part of what the county funds is our food stamp outreach program, and at the current time, we are providing counseling and assistance to 110 families a month who are confirmed to have been enrolled in food stamps who weren't enrolled before. So that's a tremendous boost to them and to our economy.
Thank you so much.
Janice Wolf, and followed by Susan Hughes.
Good morning. I have some materials for the board. I am Janice Wolf, and I'm with the San Luis Obispo County Community Foundation. I'm here today in support of Action for Healthy Communities, request for a modest budget allocation of $25,000 to implement the next Quality of Life Indicator Survey and Community Report for San Luis Obispo County. If knowledge is power, then data is the current that moves organizations and community leaders to improve services and conditions for its residents. The San Luis Obispo County Community Foundation is a collaborative partner in Action for Healthy Communities because it is the central source for statistically relevant data about a broad array of community issues. Because we care about the state of our local health, basic needs, public safety, education, economy, our cultural and natural environments, we have participated in Action for over 8 years, and we know that you care about these issues as well. The nexus of information provided by Action supports over 30 collaborative partners in program planning, securing funding support, and measuring the impact of their work. This includes county departments, as evidenced by the list of partners, as well as the letters that I've just dropped off. Please don't leave your community partners without the final resources to complete the circuit. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Chair. Just a quick question. Oh. Mr. Hill?
Oh. Yes. Ms. Wolf, make sure this is on. Did you turn in an application for this? I wasn't seeing it in our list.
We did not apply within the community-based organizations or preventive health grants. I think one of my other partners here will be speaking to that issue. We did not want to be in competition with them.
Thank you.
Mr. Sajjan?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Susan Hughes, followed by Rick Peluso? Peluso?
Good morning, Vice Chairperson Meacham, members of the board. My name is Susan Hughes. I'm Executive Director for First Five San Luis Obispo County and also Chair for Action for Healthy Communities. Today I'm here to speak on behalf of the Action for Healthy Communities Collaborative. I know you're all aware of its history of the project since you've either met with us or we've sent information to you. Action is the only ongoing local indicator data project in San Luis Obispo County. Throughout its history, Action has relied on the generosity of its collaborative members and county departments to fund the project. Even with the tough economic times, our collaborative partners have continued to donate to the effort. However, one major source of support, the county, has not yet contributed at the same level as in the past. I'm here today to urge you to parcel out $25,000 toward the next data book, currently scheduled for 2010. We're $30,000 short of the required amount to move forward. The local data that Action collects assists community groups in securing grants to continue to do the good work that they do. As demonstrated by the letters we just provided to you, it also helps the county in its results-based management decision-making process, which are the indicators and data on which you base your budget. Your administrative office used Action data in 4 of the 7 key findings contained in the 2007 Community Results Report. That report has been discontinued, leaving Action as the only source of local data for you. We believe it will also be useful to the 10-year plan to end homelessness. And I also should say that Dr. Borenstein, public health officer, emailed me really late yesterday afternoon indicating her support for the project, but she didn't have time to get a letter written for this morning. Over the years, county departments have been a major financial sponsor of Action. Without that support again in 2009-10, the 2000 data book is in jeopardy. I urge you to provide $25,000 to the effort, an effort that helps to bring additional funding into our community in the form of grants. Think of it as an investment that will bring and leverage future funds into our county. I've watched you make difficult decisions all week with respect to your budget. If you choose to support this request from Action, it will provide a product the community can use to leverage additional funding. It also is an economical way for the county to report to the community on its achievements. On another note, Action has tried to avoid competing with outside agencies for funding since we've always received broad community support from the public, private, and business community. Unfortunately, this year we have no choice but to compete since we weren't included in the regular budget. Without your support, Action will be forced to delay an already delayed report. And in closing, I'd like to thank you for your consideration and hopefully your support of the project.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes. Ms. Peluso, I have two requests to speak from you. Are you going to be able to split both of these up in your 3 minutes?
No.
Well, I'm going to ask you to please if you could, because there's a number of folks that wish to speak. So.
Oh, because I was going to speak for Action and for Arts Obispo. So are you asking me to choose one or the other?
No, you can do both, but I think you could probably do it all in 3 minutes.
Well, then I will start with Arts Obispo.
Thank
because
you.
I'm prepared to do 3 minutes for Arts Obispo. My name is Marta Peluso. I'm the Executive Director of Arts Obispo. The citizens of San Luis Obispo County love and value the arts. They flock to Art After Dark and the Studios on the Park Arts Festival in Paso Robles. San Luis Obispo Symphony concerts are sold out, and the residents of this county support not one but two performing arts centers. In addition, a large creative contingent of musicians, actors, literary, and visual artists live in San Luis Obispo County. The past 2 years running, for example, more than 280 visual artists participated in our county's Open Studios Art Tour. This event, organized by Arts Obispo, is the largest Open Studios tour in the United States. Not the largest, one of the largest in the United States. San Luis Obispo County should not be cutting funding to the Arts Council. In fact, SLO County needs to be supporting the arts more strongly, since what Arts Obispo does on a shoestring budget, our efforts to support and grow art and culture in San Luis Obispo County are exactly what a large percentage of our county's population deems important to their lives. Yet, there's a budget crisis. At Arts Obispo, we are painfully aware of this, so much so that we may have to close our popular programs at Arts Space Obispo if additional funding is not forthcoming. But the Arts Council should not be taking a 40% hit to our county budget, especially not after a 20% reduction that we took last year. It's not equitable to the cuts that other programs are receiving, and it's not reasonable
to given how much residents of Slo County value the arts. If Arts Obispo's funding from the county was cut 7% last year, and then another 7% this year, which is what the overall contributions to outside agencies category has been cut this year, 7%, which given the economic situation is only our fair share, then funding from the county to the Arts Council this year should be $25,800. Instead, staff is recommending $15,000. Funding at this level would be devastating to Arts Obispo. People are always talking about how important the arts are. And then when push comes to shove, budgets are slashed to arts classes and in our schools and to organizations such as Arts Obispo, whose entire existence is founded on keeping those important arts programs alive. We are your local partner. We are Slo County's link with the California Arts Council. The work we do and the people we serve, the citizens of Slo County, deserve and need more support from you. Please show that support by recommending a more equitable contribution to the San Luis Obispo County Arts Council. Thank you for all that you do. I also support action. I'm on the steering committee.
If you would like to speak to action, I'll allow you to come back and speak, but there's so many folks here that would like to address the board.
Okay,
so
that's fine. I just had a short comment on that anyway.
Thank you very much. Linda Blonsley, please, followed by Eric Greening.
Good morning, Linda Blondley. I'm with Wilshire Health and Community Services, speaking on behalf of Hospice Partners of the Central Coast. Hospice Partners of the Central Coast was one of but a handful of agencies of the many that applied for either community-based organizations or preventive health grant program grants that were denied any level of funding whatsoever. Hospice Partners is very cognizant of the extremely difficult choices that must be made in a time of budget cuts. Nonetheless, after meeting with the review committee, we believe that the review committee's recommendation to deny our request of but $4,000 for our Center for Grief, Education, and Healing was based on bias, misinformation, and incorrect presumptions of duplication of services and a failure to attempt to collaborate with other agencies. At this time, Hospice Partners requests that the County Board of Supervisors reject the recommendation of the review committee and approve the $4,000 grant that will help fund 1,100 adults and children who are being provided approximately 5,000 hours of bereavement services. The total program costs are $154,000, which works out to $140 per person, or a county cost of $3.64. Hospice Partners is the only hospice agency based in San Luis Obispo County that provides hospice services as those are defined under the Health and Safety Code, and we serve virtually the entire county. We are state licensed, we are a Medicare, Medi-Cal certified agency, and we are nonprofit. In excess of 65% of the dying population of San Luis Obispo County are within our services. We also work with patients in their home, assisted living facilities, and skilled nursing facilities. By law, a certified hospice agency must provide bereavement care. However, ours goes one step further in that it is unlimited and at no cost to not only our the survivors of those who have died on service, but also those of the community. When a call comes in at 3 a.m., it's answered by a person, not an answering machine. We receive unsolicited calls from the district attorney's office, mortuaries, county mental health, adult protective services, various hospitals, dialysis centers, skilled nursing facilities, not only to treat patients, but to treat staff who have been affected by crises and are in need of help. And then again, we're just asking that the Board of Supervisors reconsider the recommendation of the review committee and grant the request. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Greening, followed by Carol Schmidt, please.
Thank you. I am Eric Greening, and I noticed that under the category Other Agencies Requests, there 8 items. Collectively, staff recommends over 90% funding of these requests, 555,000 out of 592. 3 would get 100%, 3 would get over 90%, and 2 would get 50% of their requests. No rationale is given for this different treatment. The 2 are the Ag Network and the Arts Council, also known as Arts Obispo. I hope someone is here to speak knowledgeably about the Ag Network. I am here to advocate for the Arts Council. One thing I've noticed about this very grim week is that in spite of the grimness, one place where you felt moved to move beyond the CAO recommendation was to essentially give the planning department the ability to retain important people in their structure. Some of those people are working with building permits, but many of them are working with code enforcement. And while you highlighted, understandably, the health and safety side of what code enforcement does, much of what code enforcement does is actually abate things people don't like to look at, essentially unsightly messes. Essentially, they are working on aesthetic issues in our county, and you did consider that work, as well as their public safety work, important enough to keep them as whole as you possibly could. The Arts Council, Arts Obispo, works on the positive side of that, what we do like to look at. One of their many programs is the public art, the Art in Public Places program. They provide the jurying, they provide everything that's needed, including what we see in this building here and all around the county that help us develop a sense of place. This is just one of their many programs. Inner Spark is another. And I'm so happy to know that one of the beneficiaries of Inner Spark back when she was in high school, now a decade later, is the author of a book, and her compositions are heard on a locally produced CD. That's just one example of many young people whose lives have been touched by the Arts Obispo and its many, many programs. I have heard no rationale for the unequal treatment compared to other agencies' requests. And not hearing any such, I would hope that you would give them at least 90% of what they are requesting, if not 100%. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Carol Schmidt, followed by Terry Kurskowski. I hope I didn't mess that up too much.
Good morning. I'm Carol Schmidt. I'm the Program Director for Senior Peer Counseling, and I want to thank Nikki Schmidt and her group, the grant readers, for recommending our program for funding again. We've been operating in the county since 1992. Through the support of the county, we've grown the program. We see needs, and we're able to meet those needs. We just graduated a class of new volunteers. We have volunteers available throughout the county. We serve a population that is not served in this way anywhere else in the county. We fill a niche for seniors in their home for emotional and psychological supportive counseling by trained volunteer counselors. Our counselors receive 72 hours worth of training. We have supervision weekly by professionals, so that counselors are constantly being supported. They're not professionally licensed. I consider them paraprofessionals. They are compassionate, passionate, dedicated people. And what we're seeing now with the issues of seniors, with other services being cut, ability to access services and resources that are needed, it's very scary out there. And we can be with people as they negotiate the transitions in life that are most difficult: losing their driver's license, having financial distress, losing a spouse, being faced with chronic terminal illness. Our counselors sit with people as they die. We have a counselor right now that's at her third client that's terminally ill. These people have incredible strength, and they deserve our support, and I really appreciate the support that you continue to give our program. Believe me, you're getting more than your money's worth out of this, so thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm sorry, Mr. Patterson.
Yes, thank you. Supervisor Meacham. Ms. Smith, what program are you with? We have several senior programs.
Right. I want to be sure. Senior peer counseling.
Okay. And that's under
It's under Wilshire Community Services.
Right, Wilshire Community Services. It's at the end of the list.
Okay,
yes.
Very good.
Wilshire Community Services is our umbrella agency, which is housed within Wilshire Health and Community Services, which includes Hospice Partners and Best Care. So we're a division of a division of a division. So, but we're there.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you.
Ms. Kurzewski, and this is followed by Barry Vanderkellen.
Good morning. My name's Terry Kurchevsky.
Sorry.
No, it took me, and 12 years later, I still can't spell it. And I'm the director of San Luis Child Development Center. I wanted to just come up today and say thank you very much for your recommendation for funding. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about two programs that we're adding and expanding since our recommendation came back to us in March. One of them is as part of our partnership with SLOCAP and the newly formed network, which is called the FEFS. It's a partnership for excellence in family support. We're going to be having a parent shared leadership training academy starting September 11th, which will not only allow our parents for families of our center, but we're going to be including families in the community to come to our center and to share in a 12-week leadership program so that they can become real community leaders where mostly they've been maybe receiving support services or part of some of the agencies that you hear today. They're going to be really working together to learn how to advocate for themselves and their families in our community. Another program that we're excited to expand on is our school advocacy program, where in the past we've been partnering with Sinsheimer School in San Luis Obispo Coastal Unified School District. We're now going into two or three more elementary schools this year and able to work with them as our families and children start kindergarten in the fall. We have 20 children going to San Luis Coastal Unified Schools this year, which is a big graduating kindergarten class for us. And so we're very excited that with the family support service money that you're recommending for us, that we can continue those programs. Thank you.
Thank you. Terry. Mr. Vanderkellen, followed by Sarah or Sydney.
Good morning. My name is Barry Vanderkellen, and I'm honored to be serving as the executive director of the San Luis Obispo County Community Foundation. Thank you very much for these few minutes this morning to allow me to address you regarding Action for Healthy Communities. The Action for Healthy Communities Indicator Report is currently the only countywide survey of trends and improvements on the issues that are affecting all residents of San Luis Obispo County. The Community Foundation is supporting this effort, as we have for the last 8 years, in a leadership role in two ways. One is we are one of the primary funders of the report this year, and we provide, as an in-kind contribution, the staff coordination of the report and the committee. I'm asking for your partnership in making sure that the next report that's currently in process is able to achieve its goals of completion and thoroughness. We've heard from many people, including many departments in the county administration, of how this report is helpful in their in making their plans. At the Community Foundation, we use this report extensively. We have to make good decisions as stewards of people's money that they've entrusted to us, their legacies in investing in the county, the quality of life in San Luis Obispo County. We have to make good decisions, and in order to do that, we have to rely on good data. The Action for Healthy Communities Indicator Report is one source of that good data. And we've heard also from my colleagues just a few minutes ago that the county departments rely on that data, on those data, to make good decisions as well. We rely, at the Community Foundation, we rely on the indicator report, the data for our deliberations of strategic initiatives. I've used that information with residents of the county and their professional advisors in planning their philanthropy. In fact, there's one example that comes immediately to mind is a woman who was considering leaving her estate to an organization outside of the state of California. But when we drilled down on the information that's available in the Action for Healthy Communities Indicator Report, she decided that instead she was going to invest that money in the people of San Luis Obispo County. And if it weren't for those data, in the action report, that money would not be available to current and future generations of the people of the county. Thank you very much for your consideration of this request. It is an important project, and that's why the Community Foundation is providing leadership on it.
Thank you, sir. Sarah? Followed by Mal Towery.
Hi, my name is Sarah Bartlett, and I'm the Area Director of the San Luis Obispo County Office of the Alzheimer's Association, and I'm joined here today by Cindy Whitmire, who's our Fund Development and Events Coordinator, and we weren't sure which one of us was going to be tagged to come up here, so that's why I put her name down, too. But we're here to thank Nikki, the committee, and the board for consideration for recommendation for a CBO grant for our community. The Alzheimer's Association is a nonprofit that provides support, education, and training for family and professional caregivers of those suffering with dementia throughout the county. This particular grant is for our Hispanic Outreach Project, which has been something that we've been trying to do for many years now, and we're happy to be able to continue it. There are over 6,000 people in the county that have Alzheimer's disease, probably many more that aren't identified. There are at least 2 to 3 family caregivers for every person that has the disease. We serve hundreds and hundreds of those families every year. However, we are not blind to the fact that we are not serving as many in the Hispanic population as we would like to, and this has been our focus and mission for the use of this grant for the last several years. We have focused on South County extensively, especially Oceano and Napomo, by bringing our area coordinator in Santa Maria up to that area to provide outreach to those communities and provide Spanish-speaking care consultations. And this year, we're seeking to extend that outreach to North County and bring his services further up so that we can encompass the whole community. Specifically, we will try to target those populations through marketing and outreach, provide them with education on dementia and Alzheimer's, as well as our organization. All of our services are free, so we feel like this is a valuable service to these families that are trying to seek community services to meet their needs. And ideally, once identified, we can also provide bilingual, bicultural care consultations to these families. And just so you get an idea of what that service really is, that involves anywhere from 1 to 3 hours of sitting with a family face-to-face in their home, wherever is convenient to meet with them, laughing with them, crying with them, providing them with education and support about this journey that they're having to travel down with their loved one. So we really do thank you for your consideration and hope that this program will be funded again this year.
Thank you very much, young lady. Mr. Towery, followed by Jamie Lopes.
Good morning. Good morning. Mal Towery, Chairman of the Board of, Chairman of the Area Agency on Aging, and also known as AAA. I'm here this morning basically to tell you thank you for your consideration, thoughtful consideration of our matching funds. And for those of, in the audience who don't appreciate the specifics about a matching fund, that allows us to bring almost $2 million into the county of federal funds for this coming year for seniors. So I want to thank you again and also mention that we haven't asked for an increase in that $40,000 for many years. We still need it, but thank you very much for what you've done. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lopes, followed by Mr. Steve Bland.
Thank you, Jamie Lopes. I'm in the Long Range Planning Division of the Department of Planning and Building. Our department sent a letter in support of the request by Action for Healthy Communities for ongoing support for the opinion survey. I hope you had a chance to read that. I'll just mention a few things from that letter. The Department of Planning and Building supports the continued opinion survey and publication of the Action for Healthy Communities Indicators Report. Our department is charged with meeting the County Board of Supervisors' community-wide goals of safe, healthy, livable, prosperous, and well-governed communities. To show progress, we need measurements or indicators to understand our performance in meeting these goals. In particular, growth in the county has increased to a point when it is critical to begin collecting more data about the performance of community planning. The survey and data collection can identify the linkages between community growth and the public's health and safety and welfare. These measurements can be integrated with the county general plan. We look forward to continued and expanded use of the indicators report and survey, especially as it will provide more robust and valuable data regarding land development in the county. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lopes. Mr. Bland, followed by Julie Frankel.
Good morning. My name is Steve Bland, and I have the honor of being the president of the board of Arts Obispo, the San Luis Obispo Arts Council. For 28 years, as a local partner of the California Arts Council, we have worked to advance the arts in our county. We have continued to do this through good times and bad times. The recent economic crisis makes our job even more difficult. And in our funding category, county staff is recommending a 9% cut from the previous budget. But the recommended cut to Arts Obispo is 40%. Not only does this seem unfair, but it may cause us to cut some of the programs that are so beneficial to our county. Let me give you a few examples. Our Open Studios Art Tour is the county's largest visual arts event. This October, over 220 artists will participate in the 3 weekends of this event. Last year, an estimated over 1,600 people attended Arts Open Studios Tour. Many of these people came from out of town. They stayed in our hotels, they dined in our restaurants, and they patronized our local businesses. In February, over 100 local artists were able to display and sell their work at our Arts Obispo event. Hundreds of locals and out-of-towners attended this free event. Arts Obispo's Arts and Education Program sponsors a Poetry Out Loud competition. This year, 1,400 students from area high schools directly participated in this event. We are proud to say that our local winner went on to receive third place in the state competition. Each month, hundreds of people visit our exhibit space, Art Space Obispo, for receptions to see innovative and interesting work. Recent shows have ranged from the work of a 95-year-old Atascadero photographer to that of a recent Cal Poly graduate whose family came here from the Ukraine when she was just a child. Arts Obispo sponsors monthly arts administrator talk sessions where leaders of arts organizations from around the county get together in a supportive, synergistic forum. We have an annual lecture series. We give an annual literary award. We help implement public art programs. We publicize opportunities for artists and arts events, and the list goes on and on. And we do it on a very small budget. Because we do so much on such a small budget, a 40% cut in county funding would be devastating to our organization. On behalf of myself and our over 620 members, I respectfully ask that you please not make such a severe cut in funding for Arts Obispo. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bland. Ms. Frankel, followed by Mary Kay Harrington.
Hi, I'm Julie Frankel, and I'm a board member of Arts Obispo. I'm also an artist and a patron of the arts. I became involved with Arts Obispo because I recognized that this was the organization that was bringing the arts into my daily and weekly life through their many programs and offerings. I think we all recognize that the communities and cities that have a vibrant, thriving art scene are the same communities and cities that are identified as places that have good quality of life and a thriving, diverse economy. Arts Obispo is the leadership organization in our county that helps develop and maintain the arts infrastructure in this county. These programs are a vital component in the quality of life for SLO County residents and also for the San Luis Obispo County cultural workforce. We are prepared to face our share of the financial challenges in this economic downturn, but we are asking that our cut be a proportional 7% and not a crippling 40%. The arts have a transformative effect, and the county's support of these programs also has a transformative effect. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Frankel. Ms. Harrington, followed by Susan Warren.
Good morning. I'm Mary Kay Harrington. I'm another Arts Obispo person. I'm on the board, and I want to speak a little more about Poetry Out Loud, which was mentioned by Steve Bland. I'm on the Arts and Education Committee, as well as many other committees. We have a huge cadre of volunteers and a very small staff to do all the work we do. But Poetry Out Loud touches me, and I think it touches a lot of high school kids in the county. It is a poetry recitation contest that is national, and it is sponsored by the National Endowment for the Arts. It encourages memory, which you might remember, but most of us don't use our memory very much. And we encourage high school participation in the county. And this year we had 7 high schools participate. continuation schools as well. And the way it works is that students select poetry. It has to be approved in a special book. They can't just recite rap. But they select approved poetry, and they must memorize and recite two poems, one quite lengthy from the 19th century. Robert Browning seems to be popular. My Last Duchess keeps coming up every year. We've connected with Cal Poly English graduate students who go out to the schools to work with the teachers and the students and helping them choose, memorize, and recite a poem. They have contest in their high school, and the high school winner comes to the district contest, which is at Cal Poly for the last, for two out of our 3 years. They bring a huge cadre of their friends and family, often with roses and flowers. My initial notion of this was that it was sort of silly. Why shouldn't students just learn to write? But then I remembered my own writing from high school and thought perhaps it would be better to memorize wonderful writing. The students do an amazing job. They care about it. They learn something about language. They have to do a close reading of words and understand what those words mean and all the ambiguity that comes along with language. And it is not about performance. It's about focusing on the language of the poem. I think it makes good citizens. These kids know how to read and think. And I'm going to end with a quotation from George Orwell, which I should have memorized. I apologize. He wrote an essay called Politics in the English Language in 1946, and this is what he said. Our language becomes ugly and inaccurate because our thoughts are foolish, but the slovenliness of our language makes it easier for us to have foolish thoughts. Please support the arts.
Thank you, Ms. Harrington. Ms. Warren, followed by Gail Tutino.
Thank you, Supervisors. I'm Susan Warren, and I'm here as a volunteer today representing the Cambria Connection and specifically the North County Connection. And I wanted to thank Nikki and her committee for all the work that they did in helping us with this. And I was one of the late ones, and we really appreciate the fact that they counted us back in. Our center has been there for over 20 years. We keep growing. We've moved to three different facilities. And when we weren't sure if we were going to get this funding or not, we had to look at the fact that we might have to close our doors. And we realized, where would the more than 27 peer support meetings that we offer at our facility 365 days a year be able to go and be able to meet on a regular basis every single week? And where would those people who visit our facility, our numbers for 2008 were over 30,000 visits. And that's bigger than the population of Atascadero, Jim. But it's not all Atascadero people who come there. We do serve people from throughout the county. And some other interesting statistics that have come out of our 2008 is that about 53% of these are parents who have children under the age of 18 at home, or they may not. They may be with a relative or not living with them, but they are parents, and we're helping them to turn their lives around, stay clean and sober, stay out of the criminal justice system and the emergency rooms, and become better parents. Another statistic on that is that it's around 10% or less of the folks who are mandated. I know we have that tendency to believe that people that have problems with addictions always come out of the criminal justice system. Well, we're disproving that hugely. 90% of the people that visit our center are there because they're volunteering. They may have had some brushes early on, but in order to maintain their current lifestyle of being a healthy and productive member of their community, an active parent, they continue to support their recovery. And just to say we're also part of a new collaborative effort that Terry just referred to, and we are doing a very exciting pilot for the state in peer self-assessment and peer review amongst the county's community resource and family resource centers. And I'd like to invite you next Wednesday morning. The state people are going to be here to see how that process worked for us. You can drop by, but the connection North County between 8:30 and noon, and come hear what the exciting process we had. It's just been wonderful.
Thank you, Ms. Warren. Ms. Totino, followed by Carol Florence and Sarah Rudd Lawler.
Good morning. My name is Gail Totino, and I'm representing Community Health Centers of the Central Coast. Thank you, Nikki, for all your hard work, and thank you to the board for your recommendation and your past support. I know this is a lot of information that you've been hearing today, so I want to do it in a question-answer so it may be clearer for you and easier for me to get all my points across. Who are we? We are Community Health Centers of the Central Coast. We're a private nonprofit network of 24 health centers in San Luis Obispo and northern Santa Barbara County. Last year, we provided over 258,000 visits for 61,000 patients. We're the leading safety net health care provider in San Luis Obispo. We don't turn anyone away regardless of ability to pay. What do we want to do? We want to provide comprehensive school-based health services at 8 local high schools in the county, and this will include a medical team with a nurse or a doctor and a mental health counselor, a nutritionist, and a health educator, and a dental team that will go on site to the high schools to provide health care services. Why do we want to do this? If you know any teenagers, you know that health care is their lowest priority, and in these economic times, teenagers are often responsible for their family's health care. So they won't go to the doctor unless it's very serious or it's easy, and we want to make it easy for them and for their families. Where are we going to provide these services? At Lucia Mar School District at 3 high schools and at community schools at 5 high schools. These are the community school students. 100% of them are on the school base, the free school, you know what I mean, the free school lunch program. So they're very high-risk students. This is their last stop before they drop out of school completely or they get thrown out of school completely. What will be the cost? The cost to the school district is nothing. The cost to the student will be nothing. We don't refuse anyone, regardless of ability to pay, but we do take insurance or Medi-Cal. And we are one of the only providers in the county that take new Medi-Cal patients. And how do we know it will work? Because we've been doing this at Santa Maria High School since 2002. And we've seen an increase in their academic performance scores since we've been on campus. We have a health center on campus with 3 exam rooms and a provider and a counselor and a nutritionist. And the program works. We're collaborating already at Lucia Mar with EOC, and my time
Thank
is
you.
Up. So don't forget the teenagers.
Thank you, Ms. Totino. Ms. Florence, Ms. Rudd Lawler.
Yes. Good morning, Chairman Gibson, members of the board. My name is Carol Florence, and I stand before you this morning as the president of the board of directors of Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and I'm very honored and blessed to be involved with this agency. I want to thank Nikki and the committee for their continued support and recommendation to you, and I want to express my heartfelt gratitude for your generosity and also appreciate the serious nature of your decision this morning. In these difficult economic times, it's even more important to bolster organizations that serve the more challenged of our citizenry, and in the case of Big Brothers Big Sisters, our children. Since its inception in 1995, we have served 1,100 children. In 2008 alone, we provided one-on-one mentoring services for 356 children.
We're a growing agency, and I want to assure you that we are lean and mean. We accomplish so much with a very modest budget, a very talented and committed staff, board of directors, many, many volunteers, and certainly our donors. I would like to introduce you to Sarah Redlawler, who is one of our talented staff members. She's our program coordinator, to share a story with you. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you, Carol. And we're grateful for those of you who've been able to come out to our events and see our matches in action, our bigs and littles. And for those of you who haven't, you can see photos and testimonies at our website for our three programs at slowbigs.org. While I'm here, I'd like to tell you about a 12-year-old Julia, who is a young lady who's received the services of Big Brothers Big Sisters. Unfortunately, she's had a challenging childhood. Her grandmother received custody of her after her parents were in prison for sexually abusing this vulnerable young lady. Julia's caring grandparent brought her to our organization because Julia had fallen in with the wrong crowd. She'd begin to associate herself with the gang lifestyle. She'd been sent home numerous times for fighting at school, and her grades were falling. Not only that, she would act out sexually to gain acceptance. She was matched with Big Sister Amanda, and after being matched for less than a year, Julia's grandmother reported that Julia began to form healthier relationships with her peers, no longer sought acceptance through sexual behaviors, and her academic performance had dramatically improved. Grandma was also thrilled that Julia's relationships at home had improved as well. So this is all important, but when I asked Julia how she felt after spending time with Amanda, she said, "I feel like I can talk to Amanda about anything. It feels good. I'm nicer and more fun," showing a marked improvement in her self-esteem. And we all know when children feel good about themselves, or even us as adults, we're more likely to succeed and make less risky decisions and make healthy choices. So once again, we'd like to thank you for your support, and we look forward to seeing you in our community.
Thank you, Ms. Redlawler. Well, Marie Brinkmeyer failed to give you a warning, but you're right there, followed by Biz Steinberg.
I'm close by. I don't have far to go. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Board. Thank you on behalf of Senior Volunteer Services. Our Human Services Agency has three major programs under our direction. RSVP, which recruits and places volunteers 55 and over in more than 300 various government as well as other social service agencies, schools, police departments, libraries, coastal outreach programs in Park and Rec, you name it, we're there. Project Lifesaver is another one of our programs, which is a cooperative with the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department and the San Luis Obispo Lions Club. We're currently serving 62 clients of varying ages. These are people who have cognitive disabilities, either Alzheimer's, dementia, autism, Down syndrome, or a significant head trauma. We just found out that we're the largest program in California, and so we continue to grow. Then we have Friendly Rides for Seniors, which is a strictly volunteer program providing door-to-door transportation for frail seniors going to doctors and dental appointments. Currently, that program is active only in the Paso Robles, the Tascadero area, but we've got plans this year. We're working with Ride-On, and we'll be doing a cooperative with them to get the program active throughout the county. We just want to say thank you so much for your generous and continuing support. We appreciate everything that you've targeted for us, and we know it was a tough year for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brinkmeyer. Ms. Steinberg, followed by Bina Follet.
Good morning, Chairman Gibson, members of the Board of Supervisors. I am Biz Steinberg, from representing the board, the staff, all of the clients that we serve, and our volunteers from the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County. And I've got three areas to focus on. First of all, to thank Nikki and the committee who goes through this every year. I think it's a very, very well-done process,
and it just takes a lot of effort for them to do that, so thanks to them. Then another thank you. As you know, our agency is focused on people living in poverty, working towards self-sufficiency. So we appreciate the support you are recommending in both categories to keep people in their homes, to serve the adult day service folks who are dealing, the families dealing with dementia and Alzheimer's. Low-income women will be able to get mammograms. Martha's Place, which will be supported again by our chairperson of our Model of Care Committee, Shirley Bianchi. It's an incredible collaboration with behavioral health. Seniors will continue in all your districts to go to senior health screening clinics that are done also in collaboration with other senior programs. Tattoo removal program will allow people to become employed. So thank you on behalf of all of the people who benefit from those programs. Next, I want to get in a word about Action for Healthy Communities. And I know it's an odd spot for us all to be in here today because Action members, I am on the steering committee, we have not wanted to compete for funding for the nonprofit service programs. We as an agency are a contributor from a certain grant and have been since the beginning. If I didn't have the opportunity to be part of Action, I'd have to be looking at other funds to do that whole kind of survey, which I'm required to do, dealing with the issues of poverty. As a First Five commissioner, we definitely participated because of the 0-5 population. Due to basic needs being included there, we have face-to-face interviews that are very important for our homeless folks as well as the elderly, just as two examples. So I urge you to try to magically figure out how to help that survey continue because your collaborators are many of us sitting here. Lastly, if we didn't have art, and I'm going to focus on two groups in 25 seconds, our homeless folks, both at the ECHO program in North County, our day center, the Maxine Lewis program, the children in summer programs, if we didn't have the focus and the connection that Arts Obispo has with all the arts groups in this community, all of my low-income folks wouldn't get that opportunity. So try to figure something out for Arts Obispo as well as Action, and thanks again.
Thank you, Ms. Steinberg. Ms. Poulet, followed by Tim Williams.
Hi, thank you. I'm Bina Poulet. I'm the Executive Director of the Community Counseling Center. I first want to say again what you've heard a lot, thanks to Ms. Schmidt and her committee for their work. I know it's not an easy job. I'll tell you a little bit about Community Counseling Center. We provide professional therapy for people who have a low income and no insurance. We provide services all over the county. Our main office is in San Luis, but we also see our clients in Atascadero, Napomo, Arroyo Grande, Cambria, and those are where we see numbers of clients, but also individually in various other cities based on our volunteers, private offices. All of our therapists, we have 52 therapists and growing, are all volunteers. And that's how we use your county money to leverage our services. So right now we have 52 volunteers. They donate 5,000 professional clinical hours per year, and I think that's growing too as our clients continue to grow. We do not duplicate the services of other agencies, so if there is a clinical therapeutic issue and another agency to address it, that's where we send that client. So we don't duplicate the services of mental health either with their mental health diagnoses. So that leaves low-income people who are very much like you and me, who have parent issues, maybe depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder. In this economic climate, there's a lot of stress out there. People who are already low-income are suffering even more. Some of them may be facing loss of housing, loss of jobs. So additional stress on already stressed and low-income lives. And we're seeing You know, most of our clients at this point are probably in that category. We see over 1,200 clients per year, at least that many contact us. Then we refer maybe 300 or 400 of them to other agencies, or if they are not low income, we'll refer them to the right place for private practice. And that leaves over 700 people who are given intake appointments and probably go on to weekly therapy. So I want to thank you for the recommendation for funding this year and for funding in the past. Many of our agencies are interconnected, and without funding to all of us, we wouldn't be able to do our work. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pollet. Mr. Williams, followed by Karen Fields.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Board of Supervisors. My name is Tim Williams. I am the president of 211 Slow Hotlines Board of Directors, and I want to thank the committee for recommending again some support for 211 and what it does for our county, and thank the supervisors for considering us as well. I've been involved with Slow Hotline for 5 years now. We were first just Hotline then, and since then become 211 Slow Hotline. I was tasked with helping the Slow Hotline turn into 211. I have a technological background, so that was why I was asked to be on the board. And I was there at the beginning when we had the first stakeholders meeting with the Department of Social Services, and we were then chosen by all of our peers to be the active 211 agency. After that, the Board of Supervisors then approved us and it selected us as the agency, and then the California Public Utilities Commission then deemed us the 211 provider for our county. That first year that we rolled that out in 2007, November 2007, our calls increased by almost 60%, 57%. Just some recent accomplishments I wanted to give you. By the end of this last year, calls were up 67% due to some outreach that we had with the ESL classes and some Hispanic media sources. We increased our monolingual calls by 200% this last year. Our cellular activation, meaning all cell phones and landlines, and everything was now working through 211, was completed in July of last year. PSAs were aired to give 211 awareness as well as to recruit more volunteers. We are a voluntary agency. The contract revenues increased from $2,600 to $21,000. That's something we've been really working actively on, is to try to get more contract revenue as we support the other agencies in our community. That helps us sustain ourselves much better. We relocated this last year to a newer, safer facility with help from one of our partners, Rob Rossi. Nonprofits, as you know and as you've heard today, are struggling. Once we took on our 211 status, our direct donations actually decreased. We have this awareness this perception that we're a government agency, like 911 or other agencies that are there, so people are less apt to give us funding to support 211 in our county. Yet we're still tasked with being part of the county's disaster plan, part of VOAD, and for the last 39 years, answering crisis and suicide support calls. We had several options we looked at as a board to try to help keep ourselves sustainable during this tough time, and we selected one that we're working on right now to work more closely with another agency and actually get some economies of scale involved to keep our budget down and lower. Last year I was here talking about that we needed some additional funds. And Digital West, my company stepped up and said we add another $25,000 to our commitment. We did so, and the Board of Supervisors also increased the allotment they gave us for last year. We thank you for that. I'm here to tell you we need it again. We're here again to ask for it. Digital West is going to step ours up, and this agency that keeps the lines open needs to continue running. As we've been hearing, it's a very important thing.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. You have a question, Mr. Sargent?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you were going to allow them as we speak or at the end. But Mr. Williams, a couple of questions for clarification purposes. We appreciate the work you do, and you did receive the blessing of this board and previous board to bring those services to our county. I'm glad to hear all the numbers have been increased. But year after year, as we deal with all of the organizations coming in front of us, obviously you have chosen to go to routing where you can save money and be more stable. And my goal is to see that you're on such a solid ground that move forward from there. What would it take for you folks to become self-supportive? If it's a one chunk of money that we can put in place, thinking that that will strengthen your position and you can move forward on your own. What is it going to take to do all that?
Well, that's a good question. There are a few things that have been sort of out there and down the road. There's legislation for federal funding. We've been told that for years. Back in 2007, we were told that was going to be coming, and we've been working towards that. It's something that's not here right now, but we have to continue to keep the lines running and open. We've looked at other sources. I contacted several of you directly about some other sources from the communications industry around here. There may be some resources there, but what we're, our key focus right now is actually merging and or collectively pulling our resources together with another local agency so we can then cut our budget down by almost 50%, which would then make it much easier for us to continue to sustain our agency. And along with that, we talked about the contract calls. If we can continue to increase our contract calls, we're working with and we support all the nonprofit agencies. They don't have a lot of money either, but we're trying to work with them so that we can get all the resources for the phone answering, crisis intervention, handled by 211 so that we can have some of those support contracts.
So your merger is going to save you money as far as in having one executive director, one location to pay rent and...
Yes, sir. The rent, we can lose an administrator, we can go down to one executive director, the accounting, all the resources, and then what the in-kind donations that we currently get will then benefit both agencies. So we hope to really get an economy of scale in that direction.
And what dollar are you asking?
I'm asking for $50,000. We were allocated 30. I think we requested 79, but we're recommended for 30.
Right. We'll take a couple more speakers. Thank you, Mr. Williams, and then go to a break. Karen Fields, followed by Linda McGregor.
Hi, I'm Karen Fields, past president of 211 Slow Hotline and a current board member. Thank you for your time. Prior to moving to the Central Coast, I was a resident of Northern California and went through several mandatory evacuations because of the levee situation. We did not have a 211 nor a hotline. It was, I have small children. There was no one to call. You really didn't know what was going on. That is one of the reasons when I moved to the Central Coast, I got so involved with Hotline, which is now 211. In addition to helping in a disaster, should one happen, 211 Slow Hotline takes over 7,300 after-hour critical calls for several agencies, to name a few, the Maxine Lewis Homeless Shelter, the San Luis Obispo and North County Women's Shelters, the Family Care Network, and the Department of Social Services for Child Welfare. I'm concerned. We're in very difficult financial times, and I am concerned about who will take these calls if 211 does not receive critical funding. Thank you, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Field. Ms. McGregor.
Good morning. I'm Linda McGregor. I'm the executive director of 211 Slow Hotline, and I, too, would like to thank the staff and the grant review team for the hard work. It's not easy reviewing this number of grants and making these difficult decisions. We thank you, and we thank the board for their continued support of 211. You are one of the most supportive boards that we have in the state of California in terms of 211. We have the smallest corporate base of donors, but we do have a very supportive board. In the last year, our calls have increased from 12,000 to almost 20,000 calls in 1 year. 300 of those callers were in extreme crisis. They were suicidal, there was domestic violence issues, and they were battered or abused people. 1,000 were depressed, anxious, or troubled. And of those 1,000 that called with depression, anxiety, over 500 of them accepted a referral for counseling. So we think that's a great way to have people that aren't ready to take action change their mind and make some positive choices. 26% more seniors called in 2008, 200% more bilingual or monolingual, and we had a 60% increase in categories like financial assistance, legal assistance, food, and shelter.
It's tough out there, and we are taking calls from people. We had about 380 people call us last year that were newly poor and had no idea where to go for resources. 2,200 were homeless, and 600 callers had mental health issues. 500 callers were looking for medical help and not knowing where to get it. For the first time ever last year, our callers under 18 exceeded the callers over 75. And we had 228 youth at risk call. There were 109 suicides in 2008, 109 suicidal callers. We've had six in the last 5 days. And two of those callers were high school age children. So it is getting more challenging out there, and the resources are fewer and far between. We've had 39 years of continued service, and we've taken over 500,000 calls. Our service is in jeopardy, and we ask for your help to keep the service local, to keep the jobs local, and to keep the community moving in a positive direction. Again, I ask, like Karen did, without 211, who takes those calls? Who takes those 20,000 calls every year from people that reach to us for help? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McGregor. We'll go to a 15-minute break at this point, and there are a few more speaker slips that I have, and then we'll go to bring it back to the board. So we'll reconvene a little after 10:45. DJSD, Mr. DJ Funk, please, followed by Caitlin Madden.
Thank you very much. Don Funk, and I'm the Executive Director for the Upper Salinas Los Tablas Resource Conservation District. And today I'm really representing both of the RCDs in the county, also Coastal San Luis RCD. And we appreciate your continued support. Actually, the county's been supporting the RCDs since 1951, I believe. And we certainly appreciate the assistance that you've given us over the years. The RCDs have over 20 programs that they assist the county with. As an example, we have the Alternative Review Grading Program. We provide technical assistance. And more recently, we've been providing lots of assistance to the Code Enforcement and District Attorney's Office in dealing with projects that had some sort of violation. I wanted to particularly mention the Partners in Conservation or Partners in Restoration Program, which is a permit coordination program that we've been working on now for 3 years, and we hope to get the program started this coming fiscal year. So yay, it's taken about 3 years. We figured it was going to take about 2 years working with all the various agencies. We'll be implementing 18 practices, and this will be countywide, and they'll all be practices that will have some benefit on the environment, water quality, habitat or restorate wildlife restoration and erosion control. And that program, we hope to have all of the agencies on board. We've been working with them now, as I mentioned, for about 3 years. And so we hope to have the program running by the middle or end of this coming fiscal year. So again, we appreciate your assistance, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Funk. Ms. Madden, followed by former Supervisor Shirley Bianchi.
Good morning, Chairman Gibson and members of the board. I'm here to speak about the Central Coast Agriculture Network, or the other organization that received the recommendation of 50% cut in funding. So I just wanted to speak to the important niche that the Central Coast Ag Network plays here along the Central Coast. I will now refer to them as CCAN, a little easier. We have two big programs that we've been working on and expanding this past year with your support, as well as the support of a grant from the California Department of Food and Agriculture. And the first program is the Central Coast Grown Program. And this is all about supporting local produce and working with restaurants and grocery stores to convince them to buy locally and then to convince them to label it. And we have a Central Coast Grown logo, which looks like this. It's very pretty. And what we're doing is working with them to get them to start using the logo so that consumers can go to a grocery store or restaurant and see where the local food is. So that's kind of one of our big programs, and going along with that, we've been working to educate the public about the benefits of supporting our local farmers, as well as promoting local food and wine at different events such as Earth Day Food and Wine Festival, and coming up Palette to Palette, which is an important event that connects chefs with local growers this summer. So those are some of the things that we've been kind of doing with the Central Coast Grown program. And the reason why this program, I think, is so important to the county is that not only is it important to support our local farmers, it protects the natural environment and the beautiful surrounding areas of SLO, but also during this kind of economic time, it's important to keep money within the community and keep dollars circulating. And by supporting local farmers, they're more likely to then put that money back into the community. So I think it's really a beneficial service for the community. And the other program that I wanted to just touch on a little bit is our Farm to School program. And this program is all about getting local produce into cafeterias. Right now we're working with two school districts to start implementing farm-to-school programs. And just with your support this past year, we were able to send two of our board members, as well as a food service director from Paso Robles Unified School District, to a farm-to-cafeteria conference, which really was a great opportunity for the food service director to kind of learn about how to implement a farm-to-school program, as well as get inspired on the importance of local food for the children of the community. So those are a couple of our programs, and I would just kind of, again, like to express the importance of continued funding from the board, and we really appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Madden. Mrs. Bianchi, followed by Eileen Allen.
Good morning. I came down out of the hills to thank the board. I'm happy to be up there. To thank the board.
Up there being in the hills, I take it.
Being in the hills.
Yeah,
former and county admin staff and Nikki and her committee for your continued support of Martha's Place as Martha's Place prepares for the future. Martha's Place is dedicated to helping high-risk children ages 0 to 6 who experience developmental and behavioral emotional problems. And as such, it is a unique and valuable resource to the San Luis Obispo County community. Children who receive help early in life can improve significantly and do not require expensive remedial services later in life. It is good for children and their families, and in addition, it saves money in the long run. Survey information recently collected from SLO County Departments of Social Services and Drug and Alcohol Services and Mental Health Programs within Behavioral Health, as well as Community Partners Beginnings, Community Action Partners, and the Tri-County Regional Center, they all indicate they regularly refer children to Martha's Place. Martha's Place is a true community undertaking, blending the resources of many organizations, both public and private. On June 5th, an important meeting of the organizations who provide oversight and guidance to Martha's Place was held at Cuesta College. This group, known as the Model of Care Parents Oversight Committee, or MOCPOC, of which I'm the chair, has been in place since Martha's Place began. Initially, the MOCPOC focused on establishing Martha's Place. That task is completed. Now the challenge facing the MOCPOC is how to sustain and enhance Martha's Place so it can serve children for years to come. Reorienting the MOCPOC to its new challenge was seen as a necessary first step toward making Martha's Place sustainable. The meeting succeeded in the following. An executive committee was established, four standing committees were established, roles and responsibilities were spelled out, and key operational guidelines were defined. Martha's Place has a dedicated and highly skilled staff, strong leadership, and good working relationships with organizations throughout the community. Martha's Place is strong in many respects, but like any healthcare service provider, its financial future requires vigilance and hard work. The MOCPOC will also be working to support the staff so they can help as many children as possible. And the new organizational structure will be formally adopted at our next MOCPOC meeting. And that concludes my statement on Martha's Place, and I would like to congratulate Supervisor Hill and Supervisor Meacham for having survived their first budget session. And I'm so glad I'm not there. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Bianchi. It is a certain rite of passage. Ms. Allen, followed by Heidi Francione.
Thank you. I'm Eileen Allen with the North County Women's Shelter. We have two domestic violence shelters, one in Atascadero and one in Paso Robles. But these grants, so we've applied for one grant under the Prevention Health Grant, and that is to provide crisis intervention and counseling to at-risk kids at the San Miguel School District. We often also see the entire family. The goal is to help these kids that are acting out because they obviously have something going on in their lives, to help them out and help them make positive changes now before they become adults and continue that. The school personnel refer these students to us. It's either the principal, the counselors, or the teachers. And we all know that San Miguel is at the far north end of our county, way out there, and they do have limited services. So we've been out there for the last couple of years, probably last 3 years now doing this, and they've been very grateful because many times we are the only resource that they have to help these kids. A second application that we have in is for the community counseling program under the community-based organization funding. Many times domestic violence victims can be helped before the situation becomes so severe that they have to leave their homes and go into the shelters. So that's where our community counseling program comes in. And also we encourage all of our post-shelter clients, since we have limited time stay, to continue with the counseling as long as they need us to help them to stay safe and not to get back into the situation. So I want to thank you for considering our application.
Thank you, Ms. Allen. Ms. Francione, followed by Suzanne McFarlane.
Hi, my name is Heidi Francione, and I'm a business owner, a working artist, and teacher. I also serve on the board for the for Arts Obispo, our San Luis Obispo Arts Council. I was very concerned about the possibility of cutting funding to the Arts Council and its many programs. Our Poetry Out Loud program, which is a school outreach program, encourages hundreds of students to study poetry, stretch their critical thinking, challenge their oral communication skills, and increase their self-esteem at a time that it's really critical that they do so. Our Arts Obispo Gallery promotes the exhibition of art that stirs us and makes us ask those difficult questions, those important questions of ourselves. This kind of art would not otherwise make it to a commercial gallery whose sole goal is to sell pretty pictures. Our Open Studios month-long event provides a unique creative opportunity for people throughout the county, and it also increases sales tax revenue. It was, on a personal note, earlier in my art career, I sold my very first piece of fine art at an Open Studio event. It was a huge affirmation to my artistry and my role in the community as an artist. Cutting funds to our Arts Council, to me, does not make dollars and cents. It does not make cultural sense. We know when we support the arts, we make our county a more attractive place to live and stay. Don't be fooled into thinking that support the arts simply supports people in making pretty pictures. That is a stereotype and a fallacy. Supporting the arts helps promote citizens to think critically, problem solve in unique ways, and come up with the big ideas for our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Francione. Ms. McFarland, followed by Marta Palusa, and we'll talk about that.
Hi, I'm Suzanne McFarlane. I'm the new program director for Caring Callers under Wilshire Community Services. I just wanted to take this time to thank you very much for your consideration and funding for the grant for the Caring Callers program. We supply volunteers to visit with the socially isolated frail elderly in San Luis Obispo County, and it's a wonderful program. We currently have, right now in the fiscal year, we have affected 146 clients. We currently have 65 that are matched, and it's really quite exciting and a wonderful program, and I just wanted to thank you very much for keeping us in for all these years. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McFarland. And Ms. Peluso, I understand the vice chair indicates to me you have a brief comment about action.
Yes, I do. I really appreciate you allowing me to speak a second time. I am Marta Peluso, the executive director of Arts Obispo. I'm also on the steering committee for Action for Healthy Communities, and Arts Obispo is one of the community partners of Action. Action for Healthy Communities has been a real catalyst for the arts in San Luis Obispo County since this project drew the attention of the Urban Institute's Arts and Culture Indicators Project. As a result, the Arts and Culture Indicators Project has invited San Luis Obispo County to be part of their ongoing National Cultural Vitality Survey that measures the opportunities and presence of arts, culture, and creative expression throughout the United States. It's because of the Action Project that our local community now has this opportunity to be part of this national project. The Urban Institute is not requiring a financial contribution from San Luis Obispo County in order for us to participate, but Action for Healthy Communities, our local indicators project, must be happening in order for us to take advantage of the network of information and resources. So I just urge you to please support the Action Project if you can. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Peluso. That concludes my request to speak, and seeing no one coming forward, we'll close it to the public and bring it back to the board. Have lights on from almost all supervisors at this point, but I wonder if first we had any comments that staff might want to make following public comment here.
Well, there are a couple of things for clarification purposes. The other agency request section of Fund Center 106 do not compete against each other. Each of them are taken line by line. The as I said in my presentation, there are matches that are located in there, like for Central Coast Commission for Senior Citizens and for the Arts Council, and then the LAFCO, which were required to fund. The Central Coast Ag Network application and the Pacific Wildlife Care application were reviewed by the review committee, and what you see before you is recommendations that they have made, and that was part of my narrative. The Arts Council was recommended to be $15,000 because they serve as our partner in the state-local partnership with the California Arts Council. And the grant amounts that the Arts Council, under the state-local partnership, provides is for $15,000. For it's a two-year grant, so it's a $15,000 for 1 year, and then you know the next year is $15,000. So the $15,000 being recommended is for the match, and that's kind of been the board's direction for other agencies here to match. Secondly, the hospice partners of the Central Coast, I just wanted to respond. The committee spent a great deal of time in their regular deliberations talking about hospice partners and the other hospice organization that was funded, and felt that there was a duplication of services being provided by the hospice partners of the Central Coast. As part of the process, the committee meets with any organization after the recommendations are done to talk about how the recommendations came up. The hospice partners did come in, and we did have that conversation about duplication of services and partnering between the two agencies. And after the hospice partners left, the committee members that were there continued the discussion on whether or not, with the new information that they had received at this meeting, whether they would have funded hospice partners. And the consensus of the members meeting there was that they would not have recommended it for funding because the funds were going to be used for equipment such as furniture and advertising and that sort of stuff. And in this, one of the things that the committee really looked at during their deliberations of all of the applications was direct services, as much as they could get direct services out to the community. So I just wanted to clarify that. I will say that after we met with several of those organizations, the committee members that were present talked about maybe a different way of doing the review committee process, maybe starting a little bit early, having interviews, doing more site visits to get out into the public. And so that's something that we're going to talk about during the summer. So I just wanted to sort of clear up those kinds of issues.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Buckshot?
I just want to add a couple brief comments, a little bit of background on action in the funding. I believe the last funding cycle or publication cycle was around 2007. In that cycle, a couple of different county departments contributed to that publication to the tune of about $30,000, three different departments, actually. In looking at the upcoming year, it basically came down to fitting the priority within the various departmental budgets. The various departments made those decisions based upon their priorities. Obviously, it's not a legal mandate. It's not direct public safety. I think we all agree it's valuable data. It's a valuable project and information, but that's the rationale it did go through. It has not traditionally been part of this process. It's a bit of a different animal, so to speak, than most of these other requests. And it has gone through the regular budget process in the past. And so it's up to your board to decide how it fits in with the priorities, taking everything into consideration.
All right. Thank you. Any other staff comments? If not, we'll bring it to my colleagues here. Interestingly, the lights have arranged themselves in order from my far right to my far left, and I like it when that happens. We'll start with Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And what, did you on my left?
Did your left of me, Meacham?
Trying to get you on the right of me.
Yes.
How'd that happen?
He is on your right. I want to thank everybody for being here, and a lot of the organizations that are represented here are people that I know well, worked with well, personal friends, and it's that you provide absolutely critical services in our community for which all of us are grateful. And it probably the most difficult thing is that we just simply don't have the amount of money that we wish we had to fully fund and even beyond many of the programs and services that you provide. It is just the truth. We are about to at least tentatively move forward on closing a budget that has a $30 million shortfall, with more shortfalls coming in the following years. And of course, we know that there's terrible uncertainty at what is going to happen at the state. So, and we understand fully that the services you provide are even more critical in times like this, where people are losing jobs and really don't have the resources sometimes that you provide. So I really am grateful for all of the community-based organizations here today and those that couldn't make the time as well. I'm going to throw out a proposal and see how fast I get shot down on this. Nikki had mentioned that we had about $27,814 left over from the PhD, and I thought if each of us were to limit ourselves to about $5,500 in terms of whatever additions we might want to make to some of the organizations, we would stay on budget. And I know, this is never popular, because it's much more popular to just try to dig more money out of our contingencies and fund programs. But I thought I would propose that, at least in the spirit of trying to stick to our budgetary constraints in the fairest way possible. So I thought I would throw that out and see how far it got. I don't know if it's...
Well, would any colleagues like to respond to this?
I like it. I like the idea.
Well, one thing that we've done in the past, in fact, I think we've done it this way every year, is to ask each supervisor if they have recommendations for changes, and then see if there's three votes for that and sort it out. Mm-hmm. And I do have some recommendations, and when I get the mic here, I'll make those. But it wouldn't fit within your recommendation, Supervisor Hill.
Okay. So that's a no there.
Well, and I think there are a couple that deserve some discussion here. And I appreciate Supervisor Hill's idea there. I think that is a reasonable framework in which to consider this, and I think it may be well to keep that target in mind as we discuss possibilities here. I don't think I'm ready at this moment to formally agree to that as the as a hard ceiling. So why don't we go down and see what recommendations we get here and see how they comport with your thoughts. Any other? Do you have any? We can take a couple rounds here if you'd like. specific. I didn't know whether you had any specific recommendations.
Well, I certainly want to provide some more support to Arts Obispo, and would be willing to try to work within our very constrained budgetary limits to do so.
Okay. Any other thoughts there?
Well, they're all great. And the people who've asked for more, they provide terrific. I know we're kind of limited, so I would apportion, within my recommendation of $5,500 to a supervisor, I would apportion my $5,500 to Arts Obispo.
Okay. Very good. Mr. Shadian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I also want to thank everybody that's either work on Ms. Schmidt's committee, with Ms. Schmidt being on the helm on it. It's a difficult job, but she always comes through fair and square. We thank you for that. And I want to thank those of you who are in the audience, and I'm afraid to name you in case I leave somebody out, who came here to show your support and appreciation for receiving money, but you didn't speak because you want to save us time, and I want to thank you for that as well. A couple of questions to staff, if I may, Mr. Chair. One, why is are other community service districts contributing to LAFCO as much as we are percentage-wise?
The Cortese-Knox Hertzberg Act of 2000 requires a one-third contribution by the county special districts in the cities. So obviously the county is the biggest one entity. The special districts is all the special districts would pull all their money in. That's $176,000, and the city would do the same.
And if we were all taking cuts within different departments, did the same formula apply to LAFCO?
No. It is my understanding that this Cortese-Knox Hertzberg Act.
How many times did you say that?
Well, I keep saying it because I practiced it all night long in front of the dog and the cat to get it right, and so I have to get my money's worth for warning them. No, I won't say anymore.
I tried to say it even faster than you're saying it. Came up totally different language.
That's how it started. Anyway, I don't think that the act allows us to decrease it.
I thank you for that. Now, everything that's in front of us is very important, but my questions to Mr. Bakshi and Mr. Grant, if we want to be a little more creative and we might be able to give Mr. Hill a little more money.
We still got $500. We
have two organizations, and the reason I want to bring those up, not because they're any important or less important than anybody else, but seems like there is a different connections, not to the county, but the county government business. And let me see if there is any ties there. We heard from Mr. Lopes come up and spoke on behalf of the Action for Community Health and the purpose and the needs it serves, that if they weren't there, we might be paying for those services. As I heard some surveys, Ms. Steinberg wrote to forward that surveys needs to be done for us to qualify for other funding. And that, for on one hand, be rerouted through another funding mechanism we have in place, as will be 211. And I'm looking at their services, and we help them get to this point. And I like to see them on solid grounds where there's less need of them to come back to ask us for any more money, because as the economy is, and as people are losing their jobs or foreclosure or whatever, I can see that hurting their operation more so, or the demand on their operation more so than ever before. And if we take a worst-case scenario, I don't think 911 is established to a point where they can take all those calls if there is need to be. Are there for, and the reason if we can reroute those two causes, then we'll have, that's why I say we'll have more money to serve what Mr. Hill brings to the table.
Is there a connection to those two organizations to be rerouted and reconnected since they are part of county business?
Jim Grant, County Administrator, I'll take a crack at this. Dan can correct me if I'm straying off target here, but let's just take the action survey. That, as Dan just mentioned, was funded in a different scenario. It came out of a number of different budget units that, due to budget constraints, were not recommended for future funding, next year's funding at this point in time. So if you wanted to redirect it, you certainly could do that. It will still cost money. It's not free.
I realize.
And we'll have to draw the money from somewhere. My recommendation would be that if you are interested in doing that, then you could direct staff to take it out of the organizational development budget that had, I believe, the original $10,000, I think, that the admin part had in it, and put it back in the organizational development budget. That would require a drawdown from some other service or contingencies, or that particular budget unit, this organizational development, has a reserve of around $400,000 in it. You could draw that down for this next year if you chose to do so, to fund this. I would put a caveat on that if you were to do this, that after this survey is complete, that we have a complete staff look at whether or not the information available is actually helping in any way, help shape what the county is doing and how we're acting, so that we know whether or not we're getting the bang for the buck.
That will be one proposal to come for me later on when I hear my colleagues and their input. And how about 211?
211 is a different beast as far as I'm concerned. I don't believe it's ever been anywhere but in this particular budget unit that we're looking at today.
Even
it would be more difficult, I think, to put that into a department of some sort to have continuation of funding. I'm certainly, if the board directs us to look at that, we certainly can do that, but I don't have any ideas for you.
Where did the money come from the very beginning, which was a larger chunk that we helped them get started a couple of years ago or more so?
I believe that there was $50,000 out of general fund money in CBO that went to their startup. And if I recall correctly, because that was a couple years ago, they had some other money from like PG&E and the city of San Luis and that.
Which they still do, or I hope they will. And my thinking, Mr. Chair, and as I hear my colleagues absorb all this, to see if we can find a mechanism to follow Mr. Grant's direction with Action for Communities with a caviar. And then, by then, if we can think of some way to help 211 for its services, if there's another way we can help them out, then we'll have more of the $27,814 to go to the rest of the folks who are in front of us with their needs. So I'll wait patiently to see what you folks have to say.
All right. Mr. Patterson?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you have the privilege of batting cleanup here,
yeah.
Lucky man.
Yeah.
I have some recommendations, but I want to preface those recommendations with the philosophy behind them. I think contributions to nonprofits is one of the best investments government can make. I say that because that money is often leveraged with public and private funds, so we get more value from that money. The services many of these nonprofits and agencies provide is provided with volunteers who are passionate and committed people that are working towards that cause. And I think that our responsibility, in fact, I know our responsibility here as a board, is to provide for the economic, environmental, and social health of the people that we represent in San Luis Obispo County. And most of the organizations that are before us today are organizations that really provide for the social health of our community. And I want to invest in that. And I will point out to my colleagues that we are $553,696 richer today than when we started this process on Monday, money that was contributed to contingency. And I want to invest some of that money, and I'll tell you where. I support additional funding for Arts Obispo. I've seen the work that they do and the value that it has for the social fabric of our community. Action for Healthy Communities. We've got 12 nonprofit service providers that are already contributed, that have contributed to that or pledged to that program. The indicators report that's done every 3 years, it really gives so many of the agencies and government the data that they need to get funding, grants, and otherwise. And so I think it's critical that we do that. They've reduced their budget to $100,000. They've raised most of that. They've raised $70,000 of that. They're asking for $25,000 from us. They feel that they can go out to their partners and raise the other five to meet that budget goal. I would be supportive of that. The public health agency, Supervisor Sajjan, has already contributed $10,000 from their budget. So the county is participating. We have participation from the Air Pollution Control District as well, the Council of Governments, Department of Social Services. All are very supportive of this effort. Local hospitals have contributed to it. So you can see the broad collaboration here in trying to fund this effort. 211 hotline. Their service has increased 67%. Their calls are up 7,000 over last year. Certainly in these economic times, that program is going to be needed, and I would support additional funding for that. To keep it very simple for our staff, and I have one other thing, too, that I want to lay out here for my colleagues on the board. The Central Coast Zoo Society, they've been funded. This will be the sixth year that they've come to this board for funding for their critical education and outreach program. They've consistently been funded $20,000 each of those years. They didn't get their application in on time, and Ms. Schmidt mentioned that there were other organizations that didn't get their applications in on time, and their funding, they were considered, and the penalty, if you will, was a 20% reduction in what would have otherwise been funded. So I'm going to recommend that we fund the Central Coast Zoo Society $15,000 instead of the $20,000 that we historically have funded them, because they provide this educational service countywide and to schools. And I think it's the only program of its kind in the county, and I'd hate to lose it because the application was submitted late. So to summarize my recommendations, I have a recommendation of $7,500 for Arts Obispo, $15,000 for the Central Coast Zoo Society, $20,000 for Action for Healthy Communities, their Communities Indicator Report Project.
$20,000?
Yeah, $20,000.
Okay.
And then $20,000 for 211 Hotline, again, because the escalation and the need for that program has been so much. And my recommendation would be simply to make it easier on staff, and as Mr. Grant mentioned, there are a number of contingencies out there, one of them being the one in admin that historically has funded this.
The one that had $400,000.
Yeah, there's $400,000 in that reserve fund, but I think, personally, you know, we're well over the 4% contingency that was our target for this year. I would just make it simple to transfer the money out of contingency to the respective project, and that's my recommendation, and we can take it from there.
Can I ask Mr. Patterson a question?
Sure.
I'm with you. Do you want the entire dollars that you spoke of to come from contingencies, and what are we doing with the $27,814 that's in place? Because my thoughts were such that we do take care of 211 and healthy communities from the contingencies. The rest is comes out of the $27,814.
Yeah, I would leave that up to staff to manipulate that the way they see it's best fit.
I don't know if manipulation is the correct form here, but
that's what they do.
Good work in my English. Was there admin magic? Is that maybe another way of putting it?
We do have Andrea McGarvey up here, you realize. She's the one that can...
Looking increasingly on that.
And Mr. Seebach hasn't spoken yet, so let's be aware of
I actually tied him to his chair.
That's right, yeah.
He's not allowed to speak.
That's what's crazy to do on this year.
Mr. Meacham. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I got 3 points to make first before I go from there, but... One comment that was made earlier about biased, unfounded comments relative to the recommendations that were made. I know these folks worked really hard at trying to get this accomplished, so I take issue with that a little bit. I know how much time they spend and how much they review these things in depth, and it's not easy. The second thing is the late submissions. I mean, I've heard from almost everybody that talks about the... economic climate or the precarious state of the economy that we're in. And I find that interesting that if that in fact is the case, why everybody wasn't on time with their applications. That should have been done. And I don't think those that followed the rules should be punished for those. It's like a meeting. I don't like to punish those that are on time for those that are late. The third thing is that those that were fully funded, I wondered if you're willing to give up some of yours to some of those that need it. It's kind of like the piece of pie. You cut, somebody else chooses. So that's the difficulty that we find ourselves. I don't agree with the idea that we are richer. I don't believe that we're going to find ourselves in a different situation in a different circumstance next year. We're going to have the same issues, and I think that it's part of what our responsibility is, the stewardship of the financial capability of this county, to make sure that we can continue to be able to provide whatever we can provide at various intervals. I like Mr. Hill's suggestion mainly because our task is to stay on budget and is to stay within the bounds that have been suggested. So I support that completely, and just with that minimal amount of money, I'd be willing to split up the $5,500 that I would have amongst 4 or 5 agencies that to try to help fund them further. So that's where I'm coming from.
All right. And so within the within your set of recommendations, you've heard all the agencies that you might be interested in potential augmentations.
Yes.
I just wanted to confirm that. All right.
What you'll give to your 55? So we all.
I wouldn't give it all to one group. I'd split it up between about 4 or 5 of them. Just add another $1,000 to about 5 different groups.
Okay.
Do you want to name them?
Sure. The Ag Network, the Food Bank, North County Connections, Arts Obispo. Those are the 4 that I chose. I'd split it up between those 4.
My understanding, Food Bank was fully...
Well, they requested 100. They got 95, but they were the same from the last time. But because of what they provide and the necessity of what we have seen, I think that it's a worthwhile...
Probably their needs are going to be much more
as time progresses. I think that their needs are going to increase based upon what we've heard. A lot of folks are going to be in a very precarious position, so I felt that that would be an agency that would be able to benefit from that.
Would you list those again, Supervisor Meacham?
Yes. The Ag Network, I would throw another $1,000 to that organization. The Food Bank, $1,000. North County Connections, $1,000. And then the remaining amount I would go to Arts Obispo. I do believe that they are a viable entity that could provide some help. So
you're
you've got $2,500 there and $1,000 to the other 3.
Okay. So that we'll just take those as your recommendations. So you've made recommendations within the $5,500 that Supervisor Hill referenced.
Yes.
Let me just I don't think we need to get terribly formal about this, but in terms of the Central Coast Ag Network, as a local producer, I do benefit from their activities. Both a member and bought into the Central Coast Grown. Great, considerable potential that my fruit might be marketed to the school, which I'm looking forward to. So, as a technicality, I'm going to abstain on anything that has to do with the Central Coast Ag Network. I don't think it's such a big deal as to require me to leave the room or the country to.
Well, I'll be happy to take over again if you like.
Actually, there's some places out of the country. Let me say that I echo my colleagues. All of these things are all important. The Nonprofits Act is tremendous partners to the county to do good things, and I feel our dollars are being very well leveraged. Let me ask a question, since I wasn't here at the introduction, Ms. Schmidt. In terms of the extra amount in the preventative health grant, are you confident that you could transfer awards that are currently under the CBO over to preventive health grant? So that's really fungible between CBO and preventive health grant?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a clear given. You know, my list was the same as colleagues. Arts Obispo, Action for Healthy Communities, 211. The zoo wasn't on my list, but it's certainly a worthy candidate. I'm sorry to hear that their application was late. I think some manner of penalty is in order on that. Before I start talking numbers, I see like a spectral a visage. No. Mr. Seebach, if you'd like to, you can't hide.
He needs that stipend.
Yeah. Would you like to comment on
well,
anything, sir?
Jerry Seebach, auditor.
I obviously
control.
Didn't tie the rope.
Well, I heard two supervisors, at least, talk about the LAFCO contribution, and I do think there is a way you could get at that a little bit. I don't remember which of you, two of you, are on the LAFCO. You, as the LAFCO board, you approve
right.
the budget
Correct.
With the LAFCO. There's also two city representatives and two special districts. You could take a step here and say, we're only going to fund it at the same level as it was last year. That would be about a $6,700 reduction. It's less than a 5%. It's about less than a 4%. That's what I was fiddling around over here. Less than a 4% cut from their request. And go back to the LAFCO board and ask them for a little discipline, and I think you would get support from your city colleagues. No?
I tried that at the last LAFCO meeting. I'm the alternate there, and I suggested that they leave the funding
equal.
Static as it was, and Supervisor Gibson and I were the only votes to do that, as I recall.
Well, that's disappointing because I believe we know that all of the cities and the special districts are under budget pressure this year with basically a zero increase in the property tax. That affects all of those districts. So that was my suggestion. My editorial comment has to do with the Arts Council, and I just think you guys are all about symbolism. Yesterday, you basically took 134 positions out of the county budget. You asked for county employees to dig down in their pockets and volunteer time off. The planning department changed. You had a number of people. You moved them from full-time to three-quarter. That's a 25% cut in their home, their income. And you want to then give extra money to the arts without any cut to the art, you know, appropriation. I think the symbolism there is contrary to where you want to be, but it's not my job. And I'll just I'll be the Grinch for today.
Thank you, Mr. Seebach. Mr. Shadian?
Mr. Seebach, I'm glad you spoke. But there are differences, though. You can't just make us feel guilty and walk away.
What else can I do?
And let me explain as good as I can. My create some confusion, but bear with me. When I have a chunk of money in front of me that CBO, PHG, and I make budget based on what that money is in front of me for and the causes that it goes to, is totally different than county operation budget that has to deal with your department and everybody else that has to be based on the figures and the operations and the business that we're in. So, yes, money is money, but you were talking about apples and oranges where this is designated to go to this source. I'm not taking money away from the planning department and giving to Arts Obispo. So, I know. Well,
however you want to rationalize it in your mind.
No, it's not a matter of rationalizing, it's a matter of black and white as I see it.
No, these are general fund dollars, Supervisor. They can go anywhere that you want. So your choice is to put a certain amount into these community organizations and a certain amount for the various departments.
I don't think I have a choice to take a CBO money or PHG money and give it to the planning department.
You certainly do.
Well,
on the CBO one.
On the CBO
side. On the CBO one.
Okay. So let's, that's a hard reality of our business, duly noted from the auditor controller. Confirmed that we can trade off within the proposals here. We can trade off between public health grants and community based organization grants. Maybe the easiest way would be to walk through the proposals that are on the table. I think we've got the full universe on the table. Let me just walk through these and. I'm going to start with Supervisor Meacham's and see if we can approve his at this point, and then we'll go on a subject matter. So,
may I interrupt, Mr. Meacham? So, if we're going to go to that route, that means we have accepted Mr. Hill's proposal.
Here's what Supervisor Meacham's proposing: an extra $1,000 to the Ag Network, to the Food Bank, to the North Coast North County Connection, and to Arts Obispo at $2,500.
Right.
If other supervisors want to propose additions above and beyond that, as we go down the dais or we go down the list of organizations,
clarification. That's not necessarily from his $5,500 that was proposed. It's from the entire $27,840, or where are we going with this? Just to see.
Well, I would think that it would be, as Supervisor Hill mentioned, and you know, in reference to Mr. Seabock's comments, I think that it's incumbent upon us to, I think we need to pay attention to that, and stay within this budget, because we are basically stepping outside that to add to things that we just got through taking away in some respects.
Okay.
So all I'm willing to do at this point is, if it were to go as Mr. Hill suggested, that each supervisor had a certain percentage that they would be able to contribute, that would be my consideration based upon my proportionate share if that were the case.
Okay. So these are concepts of $5,500 per supervisor. Rest with the supervisors who proposed them at this point. I mean, if individual supervisors would like to limit their support for matters to only $5,500 for them and $5,500, they can vote yes or no as they choose.
But if Supervisor Meacham knew that we might go one organization through the other funding that's available and does serve the county's business, would he have raised the amount, or would he have
Well, Supervisor Sargent, no, I'm not going to raise the amount, because that's going to be stepping over and above what I feel that is a fair contribution in my proportionate share.
Okay.
So here's I'm just to join in on, I'm the same of the same mindset. I with full recognition that all of the proposals laid out by my colleagues are worthy of serious consideration, but we've got at least two more bad years ahead of us, and I don't think we have extra money.
Okay, so let me change the approach here just a little bit. Maybe make it a little simpler. Let me talk a little bit more. I was going to talk about these as they came up. Two thoughts. One of them, Action for Healthy Communities, to me seems one of those fundamental county
functions that we need to do. We need to do the survey. We need to know the information. It informs our partners in the nonprofit community. I think it's always a good idea to study what we get out of that survey. That's the essence of our results-based budgeting. Make sure that we are contributing to making it a survey that is useful to us. That's an expenditure like CSAC or any of the other ones that benefits the county, a government operation as a whole. So I'm supportive of adding $20,000 to Action for Healthy Communities to get that done. As we look at let me tell you, we can maybe we go down a straw vote. Now, maybe I'll make a proposal. Having heard everything, let me make a proposal here when I get done. 211, we've had that discussion every year that I've been on the board, and one of the goals, and I think I heard Supervisor Shajan reference it, was to get 211 to self-sufficiency.
Right.
And at the same time, this economic situation puts added pressure on the social services programs that this county provides, and, you know, the human misery goes absolutely opposite our ability to fund it. So I think that's one of those things that one of those things that needs to be supported. And $20,000 to 211 puts them at a total funding of 50. Now, that's not, you know, that's higher than it was in 08-09, and I'm a little concerned about that. But on the whole, I think that just the nature of our times calls for compassion in that area, and I think that Supervisor Patterson's proposal is correct.
Can we take
adequate
those two?
Okay,
from the funding that Mr. Vant
and
let us
and, well, here, and let me just give my funding thought. Okay. Here is this. And I'm going through there. Let me just outline it. I think an extra $5,000 to the Arts Council was where I was coming down on that. I would probably prefer $10,000 to go to the zoo rather than the $15,000, but I probably could support the $15,000. The Central Coast Ag Network, the food bank. Well, again, I'm abstaining on the Ag Network, the Food Bank, North County Connection, and Supervisor Meacham. Basically, we've got somewhere a little bit above $60,000 of added appropriation that we're considering here. We have 27.
Does that include the 27?
Well, I'm just saying that's total. Forget where it comes from for the moment.
Okay.
But
so 33,000.
So we have somewhere between $30,000 and $35,000 that would not be covered from the extra preventative health grant. And I would propose that when we vote on these added appropriations, that we first use up the preventative health grant and then go $35,000 into contingencies. And that, unless admin has a different, I don't see Action for Healthy Communities coming as organizational development. It's just a basic county function. In looking at whether we're on budget or off budget, you know, the actual total amount that we're appropriating is not exactly a hard number. You know, we have developed the proposed budget based on a series of policies in terms of what are the most important programs, and in the case of contingencies, we set a target of 4% contingencies. We're a bit above that now, and I would submit that whatever you think should have happened with the health agency budget, basically if we take this extra $35,000 out of contingencies, we're still over 4% contingencies. In fact, we're $500,000 to the good on contingencies. And so I think on the whole we have met our target for how we were going to budget this year. Things are going to get worse. We know that. Things are going to get worse with the with the state budget. Things are going to be difficult again next year. But right now, I think through the hard work of our department heads and admin staff, we have a proposed budget, and with this extra these extra relatively minor amount of proposed additional expenditures accomplish good things and keep us on track.
Can I ask a question in that
regard?
Sure. So are you suggesting that the 27.8 that we have and then adding the 35,000 out of the contingency, that would be the cap of the expenditure?
Yeah. So we would end up with a certain number of expenditures. The budget director and the admin office will tell us what that is. And when we come back next Tuesday, we'll see that we have met our policy goal of 4% contingencies. We have accomplished the other budget goals that we have. And to me, the net expenditure of $35,000 is well worth the payback. So, I don't know if we want to take this as a package or whether we want to run down the individuals.
I'm not sure.
Mr. Chairman, would you run through the numbers one more time?
Okay.
I'm not sure of the numbers.
Okay, so what I heard is add 1,000 to the Central Coast Ag Network, and if maybe we could get an official note taker on that.
I got it.
Add $1,000 to the food bank. Add $1,000 to North County Connection. Let me propose to add $5,000 to the Arts Council. Add $20,000 to Action, or create $20,000 contribution to Action for Healthy Communities. Add $20,000 to 211.
20 or 50?
20. That was Supervisor Patterson's proposal.
For a total of 50.
For a total of 50.
That's the line fee.
Yeah. Supervisor Patterson. And then my proposal is to add $10,000 to the Zoological Society.
Okay, they are being penalized $5,000
as it is
from their recommendation and what they've previously been granted because of the late application, as were four other late applications.
Were
penalized 20%.
They were penalized, and those are in here, recommended in here at the 20% penalty?
Yes.
Okay. Based on that, let me go back then to the $15,000 to the Central Coast.
That would be consistent with the others that were penalized.
Okay, so consistent with the other penalties for late application, $15,000 to the Zoological
Society. That's a total of $63,000, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. I will take that as an added. That's the package. We could vote it up or down right now.
I would support that, Supervisor Gibson.
And why don't I move that as tentatively approve the Fund Center 106 appropriations as amended and read into the record just now.
Yeah. And I'll second, and with the stipulation that 27 would come from that transfer in the public health grant, as Ms. Schmidt described earlier, and 35 from contingencies.
35,186.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
It's truly
done it.
It's truly
perfect.
So we have a motion. Do I have a second on that?
Yeah. I second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion, or would supervisors who have spoken like to make a comment or choose how to choose to separate any of these?
No, I don't want to denigrate any of the organizations and their worthiness. I just, again, sticking to principle, I'm going to vote against spending this much money above what we actually were told we have some room on.
And I have to concur. There's no way that I could separate these to say one's better than another. All the organizations are good, and that was the difficulty that these folks had from the committee trying to come up with all these appropriations. So I can't support it.
Let me propose an option here, because I think Supervisor Shajian made an excellent point yesterday about wanting to speak with unanimity, and I don't want you all on record voting against any of these. Within the parameters of the principles you lined out. We could put together a motion on 211 and Arts Obispo
for you know, in fact, we could put together a motion on 211 and Arts Obispo that would be $27,500, and that's within the $28,000 that Ms. Schmidt had identified. Or I didn't know whether you had specific ones you wanted to approve or not. What I want to do is give you a chance to vote for the ones you want to vote for, and you certainly I understand your principle and your decision to vote against.
Well, I can't support that.
Because you have the list that you...
And trying to spread it around as little as I can, just based upon the parameters with which we can work. And I guess that's
okay.
The difficulty. And I've been through this before with CDGB funding for 10 years. I know how hard this is.
I would go along with that, except that I think with 211, it being the organization it is that came forward with our blessings in the very beginning, a difficult time not to be there for them when they have opened up a door that will redirect them towards a worthy organization to partner and get rid of their expenses. It's a help that we can push forward and make it happen. We got to bite the bullet someplace, and I think and I agree that we're not in any more slush fund that we were last year or be worse than next year, but I think maybe investing an additional dollar this year, we won't have to do $2 next year.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, you know, I don't feel like we have a lock on contingency, that it can only go one way. We've added $553,000 to the 4% contingency that we started with for a variety of reasons. There were some accounting errors in the Sheriff's Department that added $99,000 to it. Since Monday, we've added $553,000 to contingency, and my feeling is that money's there to invest the way we see fit. We're not locked in necessarily to a specific number that staff mentions in the CBO dollars. It's discretionary. That's why it's there, for us to use to invest where we think it's best to be invested. Do we do it now? Do we do it next year? You know, if you were driving a car with bald tires and you had money in the bank, you wait until they go flat to replace them, or do you invest that money in a new set of tires for safety? And that's an analogy that I think a lot of these nonprofits fit, because they're saving us money.
See, that's an analogy that creates a conflict of interest for me.
Sorry. I'll think of another one next time, Supervisor. The point is, I feel like we're saving money by investing this money for the reasons I said. I don't see that $27,000 is a ceiling, no more than I see that the 4% is a floor on our contingency. We raised the floor during the course of our budget deliberations the last 2 weeks, and we're talking about taking $35,000 out of 15.2 million that we have in contingency right now. We're talking about spending $35,000 of that. And you know, the committees come to us, they work through all of this, made the recommendations, and for whatever reasons, and I very much appreciate that. I can't imagine the five of us sitting down with all those applications and spending the dozens of hours they spend on it and coming up with anything that resembles what we have here in front of us. And I very much appreciate that. But we have the flexibility, based on the testimony that we heard today, for the reasons that we heard today, that the committee may not have heard, because their recommendations were made months ago, basically. And we have the discretion, and I don't think, personally, that taking $35,000 out of $15.2 million is excessive.
May I ask a question, see if we can focus and become unanimous? Any problems from any of my colleagues taking the Action for Healthy Community that does qualify for some of our needs that they bring forward from another funding? Would that, if we were able to take that out of the picture, we might have less of a hassle to deal with what's in front of us.
I just don't want to debate the merits of any specific. I grant the merits of all the causes. So I don't really want to get into up or down on hotline or any of the others.
It's a service that otherwise will pay for it.
So I guess the question where you're headed is if we went back to the idea that we have reserves built up and that organizational development could be the place where health Action for Healthy Communities could be funded, that we tap those reserves for $20,000 in this difficult year. We're down to taking $15,000 out of contingencies that Supervisor Patterson has rightly pointed out have grown. And so the question for colleagues who have expressed their concerns are, does that help get us to a unanimous vote on this?
You're reducing it from 30 to 15.
Yeah.
35 to 15.
And once again, I'm glad you're not my financial planner, Jim, because I wouldn't go along with your analogy there. Because if I had that kind of money left over, I'd want to put it in my savings knowing full well that I'm going to have to deal with this next year, and hopefully I can add more funding that's what's going to be requested from this next year. If we bring this back down to the 15, I'm still, it's kind of this philosophical thing with me. When you have a budget and you have a certain dollar amount to work with, I respect the fact that we are putting money into a savings account, if you will. We are going to need that. And yes, you do have the discretion. The board has the discretion to do these things. But I think it also has the discretion to say we need to be prudent with this funding, because next year, and next year is right around the corner, we'll no sooner finish with this budget than the next budget cycle will start. And we're going to be adjusting this as we go through this year. I'm not sure what we're going to be confronted with, and I'm not sure that we're not going to have to dip into that contingency to be able to make things work for the remainder of the year. So, with all respect, and it has nothing to do with the organizations. As Mr. Hill mentioned, every single one of them is I wish I had a couple of $1 million sitting here that I could just say, we have it, we'll spend it. I don't see it, and I just cannot go past the amount of money that has been designated in this particular spot. So,
okay. I understand. Yeah, almost guaranteed that if we had $2 million, we will need another $2 million.
And I guess
we'll never have enough.
It's going to be the hardest.
We have the motion. We have a motion on the floor. Let me just offer one closing comment, and we'll go ahead and call the question. Supervisor Bianchi made reference to what it takes to get through a budget cycle. It is a difficult and in many ways emotionally painful thing to do, because we know that this county does good things for its residents, and we know that our nonprofit partners do a lot of good things for our residents. So to suggest that we can't fully fund what we know are good things to do is that's hard to take sometimes. But I would look back and we're down here on the last day discussing matters that are in the mere five digits. And it's taken me a couple years to realize that what I want to do is look back on this budget as a whole. This just happens to be the last things we're talking about. We've made some substantial cuts. We have, in the tradition of this county, been prudent in our allocation of funds. And to me, if we look back and we have met those policy targets, the 4% contingency and the allocations to public safety and the ability to meet our mandates and all those other things that we know are important in terms of how this county does, if we look back at this budget, I think we should judge it on the whole, not on the specifics of whether we're $15,000 or $35,000 over a particular number that has appeared on that balance sheet. So my very last comment is that as we call the question here, I certainly understand any colleague who would choose to vote against this particular tentative motion to approve. Your concerns are duly noted. They are not voting against the programs, which both of you have spoken to as being worthy in all regards, and it comes from your interest in considering these funds for the future. So that said,
Madam Clerk, let's take a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Gibson.
Yes.
Mr. Patterson.
Yes.
Mr. Beecham.
No.
Mr. Hill.
Uncritically, no.
Mr. Asajian.
Yes. All right. And with that, we've concluded tentative motions on the budget. With colleagues' indulgence here, I'd like to bring up one other item, which was the subject of the conference call that I was on at the start of this meeting. And I've invited Mr. Ogren, our Director of Public Works, to come forward and talk a little bit about one of the proposals currently on the table in Sacramento. Okay. All right. Actually, Supervisor Hill makes a good point. If you're interested in staying for this discussion, it has to do with gas tax and highway user tax accounts. You'd be welcome too. Where we're headed is the possible agendizement of a letter of recommendation or of taking a position on this. But you want to take a couple minutes to clear the room. Before you go, let me add my thanks to Nikki and Dan, Jim, the admin department. We have, at this point, concluded our tentative action on the 09-10 budget. We will be back with a final budget resolution next Tuesday, where all the details down to the second decimal point will have been arrayed before us, and we appreciate your participation.
And there's a demonstration across the street about the state budget.
Okay, excellent.
Do we have closed session today?
No, okay. Not that I know. We're not, Mr. Jensen, we're not contemplating closed session today, I don't think, are we?
I'm sorry, can I ask a question? Are you going to take action on anything that Mr. Ogren's going to talk about?
No.
Okay, so we're okay with that.
We're not agenda.
Okay, thank you.
You've got 3 minutes.
No, we'll plan. Yeah, we'll plan this.
Get that clock.
How many 3 minutes?
Yeah,
yeah, three.
Yeah.
It took me longer to read his email then.
So the Budget Conference Committee concluded their action on the their deliberations, and along straight party lines, voted a number of revenue enhancements: oil severance tax, tobacco tax, removal of tax cuts on corporations to the extent of a couple billion dollars. But on the table still is their action. They acted on Thursday the 11th. To take 2 years of the entire portion of the gas tax, it's also called the Highway User Tax Account, or HUTA, HUTA, about $1.7 billion statewide. Also, there was some consideration of borrowing against Prop 42 for another $288 million. And Mr. Ogren, maybe you're the best person to describe if those monies are taken, and they're proposed to be taken to pay debt service that the state has incurred. How does that affect the Public Works Department?
Chairman Gibson, members of the board, Bob Ogren, Director of Public Works, and these were some of the state budget impacts that Mr. Buckshy had identified on Monday and that I spoke to briefly. I think on Monday I had indicated that the impact on the taking of state taxes, state gas taxes, from counties and cities would have an impact of about a third of our roads crew. The feedback that we gave to CSAC was 22 individuals. They've also gotten feedback from counties throughout the state. For example, Modoc County would just simply shut down their roads department. Statewide, it's approximately 4,000 jobs, and it certainly would have a significant impact on the maintenance of roads throughout the state of California. Mr. Hill, I heard, indicated I sent a rather lengthy email to the Public Works staff last night, yesterday afternoon, and part of that, the length of it was intended to make sure that I expressed the appreciation of the work that our roads crews do, the value of public service that they provide here in San Luis Obispo County. And I provided some examples of changes and approaches to work that they're taking on out in the field, including the chip sealing up in North County in order to try to spend the taxpayers' money as most efficiently as possible. But certainly that proposal is going to have a significant effect if it goes through and if there's not a backfilling of revenues. One of the proposals out on that's being discussed is 5 cents on per gallon of gasoline, which would help to address that impact. And it's my understanding that Chairman Gibson was in some telephone conversations this morning with CSAC, and that there's some support from CSAC on that particular measure. Certainly when we see gas taxes just, you know, over the last week or so fluctuating by 17 cents, you know, we think that those are important considerations at the state level. So on the gas tax itself, again, approximately a third of the road's crew. In the message also, I made sure to indicate that we would be looking at a number of different options in order to mitigate that impact, but that significance certainly couldn't be totally mitigated. One of the things that Glenn Priddy, our deputy, one of the two deputy directors of Public Works, has indicated that he will be retiring in the next few months. He hasn't indicated the exact date, but he has indicated, and without formal notification of retirement, I made sure to get his concurrence, you know, of indicating that he would be retiring, and he did provide that to me in advance of the email. But I wanted to make sure that the roads crew also knew that we were going to be cutting back on management staff, and so it's not our intent, not my intent, to seek replacement of Glenn Priddy as one of our two deputy directors when he does retire, and certainly that is one of many things that we're going to have to be looking at in order to address these impacts. With respect to the deferral of the Prop 42 revenues, at this point in time, our understanding is that's a deferral, but we'll still end up getting that money. So just as gas taxes were deferred in prior years, it becomes a cash flow issue, and we will continue to try to address it as a cash flow issue, because if we can address it as a cash flow issue, and that in fact does become additional budget cuts, then certainly the 22 positions that we've identified would be a greater number. And so, you know, again, I try to send out a lengthy email to the staff, roads crew especially, to express appreciation for the work that they're doing. And it was longer than normal, just again, in order to make that extra extended note for them. And we don't know what's going to, you know, the uncertainty at the state level is still pretty great, and just to try to encourage everybody to keep their hopes up.
Well, let me describe what CSAC is tremendously concerned about this. You know, as indicated, the total statewide is $1.7 billion. They're proposing to take the local share of the gas tax, 5 cents a gallon, and use it to pay off bond debt that they've incurred. So the CSAC staff, based on CSAC policy, came forward with a recommendation, a specific recommendation, two motions were considered and passed. First was to oppose the takeaway of the local share of the gas tax. That's an obvious one that passed unanimously. The second was to endorse specifically a 5 cent per gallon raise in the gas tax that would be used to service the debt and leave the local share coming to the local jurisdictions. Considerable amount of discussion on that. In the end, that motion passed. 18 counties in favor, 2 counties against, and 19 abstentions. And I was one of the abstentions, because try as I might to find in our legislative platform a specific support for raising a user fee or a gas tax, I couldn't, and in good conscience, could not vote on the specifics. Even though, again, CSAC policy is to encourage raising of those user fees. So the substance of what I wanted to bring to you today is I would like to agendize for next Tuesday a letter, and again, we can't take action on this, so I just sort of warn you on your comments, but I would like to bring forward a letter to be discussed and considered taking a formal position in support of the 5 cent raise on gas tax. Not known exactly what timetable we're on in terms of getting these things resolved. There is one other proposal that's floating around Sacramento that CSAC already has policy on, which is that there was a proposal last year to raise it beyond 5 cents to a 12 cent per gallon gas tax. And CSAC's only position on that, They've endorsed going to 5. If it goes above 5, what CSAC has current policy language is to say that we want that split as it has been, which I think is 50-50 between the state and the local jurisdictions. So they're not endorsing going beyond 5, but if it does go beyond 5 by legislative action, they want half of the proceeds to come locally. And so my thought was to agendize that, and you know, colleagues can certainly weigh in on that. I have Supervisor Patterson and Meacham's lights on at this point.
You addressed my issue. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I just briefly wanted to, I read your email, Pablo, and I just wanted to compliment you on keeping your department aware of the ongoing situation. Your comment about you didn't want them to see this come out in the newspaper without being aware of it, I think that I compliment you for that. And this is just only a glimpse of some of the things to come. I think that we're going to see a lot more of these type situations come up through the year, and so we're going to be in a constant adjustment mode. I think our budget's going to be a moving target as we move through this year. But I just wanted to compliment you on that letter.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Monday, when we had the conversation about the potential impact of the state, we requested staff to track impacts, direct impacts to the county as a result of state actions, and this would be certainly one. We have many programs where our staff is funded in total or in part by state and federal revenue, and when they pull that money, if we can't backfill it, then we lose those positions, and I think it's critical that the public knows that those services are being lost, that those jobs are being lost because of actions of the state and federal government that are really out of our hands.
Mr. Grant?
Well, yes, that's a good point, and I did want to point out that this latest proposal is one of many proposals out there that are being discussed, and we will try to track those as efficiently as we can, as closely as we can, and bring back to you the ramifications of those proposals so that if action is needed of any type, whether it's endorsing or opposing, you certainly would be able to do that. So I expect that there'll be weeks, if not months, more of this game playing at the state level, and we will have to track it as close as we can and get back to your board with the information.
Okay. Mr. Greening submitted a request to speak. It's not really an action item. Did you have a brief comment you wanted to make? Your question, I think, got answered here.
Thank you. I think a lot of my questions have been answered, and a lot of them, of course, go straight to Sacramento. Anyway, I am Eric Greening. I also wonder if within the parameters of the legislative platform and the authority that the SLOCOG Executive Committee has, given that it's meeting tomorrow, whether it can coordinate some kind of, make a finding that the need to address this arose subsequent to, et cetera, et cetera. Just a thought for two of the supervisors who serve on that and happen to be meeting tomorrow, because I know SLOCOG is often a major player on these transportation issues. But fundamentally, the message that has to get to Sacramento, they seem to have this misconception that stimulus money is raining down on us and taking care of everything. And stimulus money is highly biased toward capital expenditures. And the funding source they plan to take away is money we use to take care of what we have. It's the same thing they pulled with transit, take the operating money. And we just have to get it through their heads that we're not two-year-olds who just want to grab new toys and then break them and grab new toys. We want to exercise good stewardship over what our good people have already built and now are out there right now, today, at this hour, taking care of. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. We'll close it to the public and ask Public Works to bring us forward a letter for core agenda action on next Tuesday.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we are adjourned to our regular meeting. My thanks again to all who we're part of this.
We actually extend the public hearing to next week. Yes.
So we'll continue the public hearing
until
Tuesday
morning. Yeah.
So we are adjourned, continuing this public hearing until June 23rd. That's when we're going to do it. And we thank you very much.
Thank you.